Welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. Ooh, you need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much business to tend to. I want to talk a little bit about the war, and I want to talk a little bit about those that are running for the presidency and the irony of where we find ourselves. Interesting. 25 soldiers lost their lives. 25 soldiers lost their lives. Six on Sunday alone. The deadliest day in the United States in 2 years. Four U.S. soldiers and a Marine were killed Saturday. Saturday's carnage also included 12 soldiers in a Black Hawk helicopter crash. Five were killed in an attack in the holy Shiite city of Karbala. Twelve soldiers killed in a Black Hawk helicopter crash. Now, my question to you, because they're not reporting it, is how'd that helicopter get out of the sky? They don't even have an Air Force. They're taking us down out of the sky, and they don't even have an Air Force. We have much business to talk about, folks. These are extraordinary times that we find ourselves in. 25 soldiers dead, I guess. Maybe that's the reason why Bush wants a surge, because so many of us are dying. kissing me. I'll be back.
Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen has a new time, Tuesdays from 10 until noon, right here on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Understand, this is for all of my ancestors who were raped, who were killed, and hung because of their plight for freedom and for dignity. They died for me, and they died for you. This is for them to know that, yes, we are still fired up, and we're still talking about revolution.
When you go home, here's what I want you to do. We must belong to some organization that is working for and in the interest of the uplift and the liberation of our people. Go back. Join the NAACP if you want to. Join the Urban League. Join the All African People's Revolutionary Party. Join us. Join the Nation of Islam. Join PUSH. Join the Congress of Racial Equality. Join SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. But we must become a totally organized people. And the only way we can do that is to become a part of some organization that is working for the uplift of our people. We must keep the local organizing committees that made this event possible. We must keep them together. Go back and join the local organizing committee. And then all of us as leaders must stay together and make the National African American Leadership Summit inclusive of all of us. Now, many of the people that's in this house right here are put there by the margin of the black vote. So, in the next election, we want to see who in here do we want to stay? And who in here do we want to go? And we want to show them that never again will they ever disrespect the black community. We must make them afraid to do evil to us and think they can get away with it.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. What's that phrase? It's not easy being green. Well, it's not easy being Hillary. Just think about it. Just feel this. Just feel this. For 7 lousy years, this chick has been running for the United States presidency. She has politically, carefully, strategically plotted her way through this prize. She has had not an eye on the prize. She's had her eyes, her ears, her lips, her hands, her heart, her soul on the prize of the presidency. Her husband was calling her Madam President. Everybody knew that she's the front runner. The moment that she ran for the United States Senate, they were asking her, are you thinking about running for the... Before she even won the United States Senate seat in the state of New York, they were asking her, are you going to be running for the presidency? She knew it, we knew it, they knew it, everybody on God's green earth knew it, but yet and still she played the politically coy game. I don't know. I am first here to serve the citizens of the people of New York. I will make a commitment to you that I will not run for the presidency before my first term is up. And she didn't. But at the same time, she continued to gather more money than God. Not hundreds of thousands of dollars, not $1 million or $2, but tens of millions of dollars. She's politically gathered up, craftedly gathered up, strategically put aside for that political rainy day called the Election Day. Election Day. What do they call that? What do they call that? All the best laid plans of mice and men. Or in this case, of mice and women. Oh yeah, the chick had it all planned out. Had it all planned out. And then all of a sudden, what is it that I hear over the horizon? What is it that I hear over the horizon? Howard, what is it that I hear over the horizon? What's that? Kind of like what we hear for the giveaways. What's that sound? That musical sound that we play for the giveaways. What is that? Because over the horizon, we heard, ah, yes. What is that? Coming somewhere from Kenya, I believe it is. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Ah, no, it's a Barack. It's a Barack. Barack Obama has taken the wind out of the smooth sails of Hillary Clinton. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He has messed up her game. He has twisted her game so much that she lost her rhythm. I mean, she had been so politically calculating. Everything had been done. She crafted her Iraq policy. She went out there and stood on the side of no flag burning. She did everything. I'm a woman. I got ovaries, but I'm a hawk. Little old pink ladies from the Pink Ladies for Peace. I've had them on my show all co-pink. They tried to meet with the chick and she said, oh, bump that. I'm a hawk. I'm a hawk. Ain't no pink in me. No, sir. No, ma'am. No, nobody. Barack has messed up her game so much that it wasn't with a bang. It wasn't with the whistle, it was with a teeny tiny whisper that she announced that she, and her game is messed up so much that she said the same thing to announce her candidacy that Barack Obama did. I am forming an exploratory campaign. Huh? Isn't that what Barack said? Lady, you've been running for this for 7 years. Exploratory what? And then help me with the politically contradictory statements. I'm forming an exploratory committee to run for the United States presidency. And I'm in it to win it. Well, sweetie, what are you exploring if you're in it to win it? Why are you forming a committee if you're in it to win it? Barack has messed up your game. Barack has messed up your game. Surely you could have come up with a better... Barack, and she announced it on a Saturday. I'm in the media business. Saturday's a slow news day. You don't announce nothing that you want. That's why the Saturday Post looks like what it is. The tabloid. Half-formed. Put out before the world, half-finished. Nobody announces anything that they want people to hear. You bury stuff on Saturday. You want it to hit the news on Saturday so that nobody pays attention to it. She announced on a Saturday that she's forming an exploratory committee, that she's in it to win it. Barack has messed up her game. Now, I'm not a fan of Barack. I do not think that America is going to elect an African, a womanakin, or a Hispanican. Because we also got the news that the first Hispanic, the person hoping to be the first Hispanic to be the president, has announced his campaign, or his announced his desires as well. Hillary just can't get no play, can she? I guess, you know what? Here's the thing that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to Governor Bill Richardson revealing in English and Spanish on his just launched website that he was in the race. Poor Hillary. 7 years she's been running this thing, and what I think is going to be delightful, because she hasn't had any competition for 7 years. Now we're gonna see what the chick's made of. Now we're going to see her real political chops. And the first move out the box shows she ain't got none. You announce that you're running on a Saturday? Huh. Huh. Clinton said, "I have never been afraid to stand up for what I believe in or face down the Republican machine." Shut up. You said yes to the war. When was the last time you whispered this phrase that kicked your butt 7 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, whatever years ago? Universal health care. When was the last time you said that? When was the last time you said that out loud and then didn't duck? I have never been afraid to face down Republican machine, huh? Huh? Huh. Barack has messed up your game. And I'm digging it. And I'm digging it. You are too politically calculating, and you are too much part of the triangulation of your husband. I know you whipped him into shape, but America's a different animal. It is a different animal. 1-877-920-WGNU. Yeah, the dude that Bill Richardson got more play because he had Spanish and English working for him. At least that's a little different. All Hillary did was whisper on Saturday, "I'm in it to win it." My name is Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for the 6:30 hour. Northbound 55 from 44 through Big Bend. Look for some delays going on there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant. Expect delays. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason is starting to stack up this hour. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through Highway 79. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit into the landing looks good. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight. You can expect traffic to be building there. Westbound 5570 at 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some delays. And northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 255, 270. It is starting to stack up there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Cloudy, patchy, freezing drizzle this morning. Otherwise, near steady temps in the lower 30s this evening. Mostly cloudy, low in the mid-20s. And moving on to Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning. Partly sunny throughout the day, high around 40. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy once again. With early morning until early morning, then becoming mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. And on Wednesday, mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 33 degrees and overcast skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Riveting Radio with Liz Brown. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at Connect Care want you to know that sometimes change can be good. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Connect Care is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Aldermanic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Turn on the television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
Keep your head up.
'Cause the new day. Darkness shall come. Oh, 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 oh.
Well, Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Mr. Jones, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown. I'd like to ask a question. What would be the difference in Hillary's campaign collecting, you know, money for a presidential camp versus, say, Congressman Clay collecting money from Walmart? I'm just curious about it. You know, here, you know, on the street, people are anti-Walmart, and here he is, you know, Congressman collecting money for political purposes. Just out of curiosity, can you answer that question?
Okay, I'm not getting the comparison that you're making. What is the difference between Hillary Clinton doing what?
Collecting money for her political endeavors and a congressman collecting money for his political endeavors. And on the street, people are anti-Walmart.
Well, okay, here's my general view of that, Mr. Jones. I think that every political candidate and every politician in office is to be evaluated by who he takes money from, who she takes money from, and what she does. If you are advocating that you are a union guy, okay, that you are advocating on behalf of the unions, it seems to me that it would be problematic that you would then take money from a completely anti-union entity. I think that that is a contradiction in terms. Now, with respect to Hillary Clinton, she has the most corporate money of, I think, just about any other Democrat out there. And I think that she should be evaluated and evaluated harshly because of that. I think that it is our responsibility to look at the money that our elected officials take or the want-to-be elected officials, who they take the money from and how they vote and what they do with it and what they say that they are about. I think that's fair. I think that's responsible.
I agree with you. It's just ironic that you know that he's anti Walmart, you know, on one hand, but take money behind closed doors on the other hand.
Mm-hmm. And the evidence of him taking the money from Walmart is what?
Hypocritical.
No. I mean the evidence of that. Where do we have the evidence of that? Have you seen something where he has taken money from Walmart?
Oh yes, it's on record.
Okay.
PubDev.com. I think it's November issue.
Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Pat.
Yes, Liz, I called you some time back about Chris Rock's statement about Katrina. Do you recall that?
No, I don't. Refresh my memory. Recollection.
I told you that Chris Rock was on Oprah Winfrey's show. Both of them went down in New Orleans to view the flood. I told you that Chris Rock made a comment on Oprah's show. The funniest thing that strangest thing that he ever seen was 20,000 black people floating. You hung up on me. That's okay. Let me finish. I'm not going to keep you real long. I'm going on record to say that white people who are on the highway, bumper to bumper, if one white person were to offer one black person a ride just to the next little area to get out of harm's way, none of this, what we witnessed would occur. I think it's strange, and I think it's something that we're really not understanding, that the white people, they showed them in the news, bumper to bumper, getting out of the way of the storm. While black people stayed there, had no way out. And then in some instances, I've heard that they even blaming them for their condition. And was in harm's way of the storm. I think it's strange that white people let that go down while they show them bumper to bumper on the highway. What do you think about that?
I think that anybody...
The white people did not offer not one black person a ride just to the next little area.
Okay, well, I'm not in the position of saying that not one single white person offered anybody a ride. I don't think that anybody is in the position of saying not one single person did that. I'm not going to say that, but I will say... Well, I think it's illogical to assume that not one person did it, because I...
Well, listen, okay, you're entitled to that.
I'm well aware of what I'm entitled to. My point is, and my response to what you said, is that anybody who had room and did not offer people... rides out of the city, given what was going on, I think that speaks horrible things about that individual. It speaks monstrous things about that individual, and I think that. Huh? 1-877-920-WGNU. I mean, that's obvious. That's an obvious thing that anybody in who was there. And I will speak specifically of the white sheriff who stood on the bridge and pointed the guns at 90% African people. There were white people on the bridge as well. He shoved their gun in their face. I saw them because I watched Spike Lee's movie. And there were mostly people of African descent on that bridge. He wouldn't let them come into his town. Left them suffering and burning and thirsty and hungry and in pain on that bridge. That's a horrible thing, and he should be punished for that. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. That's obvious. 920, you need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown. How you just doing today?
I'm outstanding.
You don't have to go to New Orleans. They blocked the Memorial Bridge to keep blacks over there from coming across to the VIP fair.
That is a fact.
So, I mean, it, nothing surprised me like that. And yeah, and again, Miss Brown, Hillary announced her candidacy on the same day that you be sworn in the White House, too, you know.
Who was sworn in?
Hillary. The date that she announced her
candidacy. She just announced it on Saturday.
Yeah, but that was the 20th. No. That is the same date that you be sworn in when you become president.
Okay.
So that's the date. You'd be smart.
That's a stupid thing. It's a stupid thing on a Saturday.
Yeah. Well, Miss Brown, the yellow brick road to the White House. Now, this Hispanic guy, he's Mexican, right?
You're talking about Governor Bill Richards.
Right, and he's a Mexican type descent.
I don't know.
You don't know?
Mm-mm.
The reason I said it, I thought he was the same person that they're building a fence around this country to keep him out of here. And John McCain, did you see him?
Okay, see him what, Mac?
On Meet the Press, yes.
It was, I think that whoever decided the color scheme for that will get fired because he looked so washed out. He looked horrible.
Some American voters are kind of do stupid things at the poll, but John McCain... There's no way that he's going to be the president of this country. I don't know why he don't just keep his money.
He really looks awkward.
That man become the president, boy. We I'm running the next time.
Thanks for your call.
That's a sick-looking man to be talking about running for the White House.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. Ron. Oops.
Good morning, Liz.
Let me put you on hold. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Dr. Gilbert Ross, leading infectious disease expert.
When you get the flu, it's not just a bad cold. It's a serious illness that can lead to hospitalization or even death. Luckily, it's not too late to get your yearly flu vaccination this season to help protect yourself and prevent the spread of the flu virus to loved ones. To find a public list of flu clinics near you, visit www.fluclinicslocator.org.
A public service message from the American Council on Science and Health.
Hi, I'm Laurie Falkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Falkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Automatic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Automatic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. What's your number, baby? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yeah, good morning, Mrs. Brown.
Good morning.
Yeah, Mrs. Brown, you know, we're always talking about and the truth shall set you free. And myself, I have to speak for myself because I'm not a leader. But I always remind people that I don't be trying to be smart or think I'm smart by making a statement that, hey, I have never been educated in America. I had to educate myself. And I always wondered through my whole life, and I'm 73 years old now, would I ever find an answer of why I kind of felt it gave me some type of self-esteem. Well, biggest mistake that America has did through this kidnapping of these two kids. If anybody reads the Sunday paper, you will see everything that all of the problem that black people have, the answer is in this writing by this author here in a Sunday Post-Dispatch about the Stockholm Syndrome. And how it affects people. You can start off from the beginning. How did these kids get into that position? They was captured, and they was controlled, and they was educated by the person who did not educate them for their benefits. If you start from there and go to the end, to where the Stockholm comes in about these people's three people robbed a bank, and the people who had been captured helped the man rob the bank. Then after they got free, they turned around and wanted to help the man get finance for an attorney. Now, if you look at black history, it's the same way. The people changed their name, remember roots, Kuta Kente. And that white man told him, hey, your name is not Kuta Kente, your name is Toby. That's like the syndrome. If you look at people's denying that they are not like their captor. If I tell a black person out there, hey, well, man, you in this position like Condoleezza Rice, are you acting white? What are you talking about, I'm acting white? Just because I can do this or I can do that. He always is in that man's favor. And it's the greatest mistake that America has ever made. for black people, especially in the educational field, to understand why we are having a problem with our children today. It's because they living in denial. And as the man said at the end of the story, he said a man will do anything to survive.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Now, we have Hillary Clinton out here sputtering into her announcement. The announcement of the obvious. I get it. I get it. I understand it. You're spooked. You're spooked by Barack Obama. I got it. I don't know if a lot of you had a chance yesterday to see John McCain on Meet the Press. Amazing. Whoever, because John McCain is powering up his media team. And my mother always said, you know, you sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas. You're judged by the company you keep, and you are affected by the company that you keep. I think that's just such a powerful phrase. You sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas. Everything bad that happened, that is associated with those you hang out with, now becomes part of you. The fleas just don't stay on the original dog. They hop on anything that laying down with the dog, whether you're a dog or not. And I say that to say that John McCain has hired the core players of Boy George's advertising team. Russ Schriffner, Stuart Stevens, and Fred Davis. These are people that have been known for created some of the nastiest campaign ads out there. You sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas. They say who you are about. It says who you sleep with says a lot about who you is. And I suspect that the person that allowed John McCain to be photographed, sent out into television land in front of a baby blue Meet the Press background that made him look like he was the pink Easter bunny or the pink Energizer Bunny. He looked like death twice warmed over. Not a good thing. He looked little. He looked like this short little pink Energizer Bunny. And everybody that's in television land, every white person in front of the camera, I'll give you an example. Just about every white person in front of the camera, some brown people in front of the camera. I'll give you an example. And this may be an extreme example. But I know a lot of you out there, even though you may not admit it to me, but a lot of you out there watch Dancing with the Stars. I know that because of the numbers of the show. Somebody listening to this show loves Dancing with the Stars. I know I fell in love with one person on Dancing with the Stars, Emmett. But one of the things that I found out about that show is that all of the contestants spray themselves with this tan stuff. They spray themselves so that they are brownish, because the camera likes the brownish stuff. They would, in fact, one of the little children of African descent, little girl that was on there, said she wanted to spray herself because everybody else there was spraying themselves. It's what people do in order to make themselves more photogenic. I get it. People put stuff in their hair to make their hair like my hair. I understand. People put stuff in their lips to make their lips like my lips. I understand it. Tans, I understand it. Rear end implants, I get it. I get it. I understand. So, I say that to say that whoever put John McCain in front of the camera, behind, in front of a baby blue background with a light blue shirt on, with absolutely no color at all, that person no longer probably will be working for John McCain. He looked bad. He looked really, really bad. And he looked really, really tiny. Ask Richard Nixon what difference it made how he looked in his debate with John Kennedy. Oh, that's right, he didn't win that election, did he? 1-877-920-WGNU. On Mondays at 9 this morning, we are two steps closer to an agreement to privatize the oil in Iraq. I don't want you all to miss this story. We're going to be talking about that this morning, how it was all about the oil. How it was all about the oil. And, of course, we have joining me on the wake-up call on Monday, of course, it is the Aldermatic Watch with Alderman Lewis Reed. We have that coming at you as well. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Zenobia.
Hey, good morning, Liz, and good morning, St. Louis. I just wanted to call and say I have been noticing that John McCain looks like death warmed over. His pallor is so pale.
Oh.
And his demeanor is...
It's shrinking, isn't it? Isn't it shrinking?
I didn't hear you.
Isn't it shrinking? His whole energy and projection and everything, it's like he's the incredibly disappearing, shrinking man.
Yeah, and his affect
is
so bland.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's like a total difference from what a politician should be. A politician should be uplift, positive, and constructively. This man looks like death warmed over.
He does.
His pallor is bad.
Yeah.
His affect is flat. And I've been noticing that for some time. And I said, now, how is this man going to carry a campaign?
Did you catch him yesterday on Meet the Press?
No,
you should have seen him. It was as if every single one of his attributes that you've just described was magnified 100%. He looked horrible. He looked horrible. Horrible.
Well, I just wanted to say you're absolutely right. That has been my sense for some time.
All right.
So yeah. I'm in the midst of getting ready to get out here and start this work week. So.
Well, good luck with that, Zenobia. Thank you so much for calling this morning.
Right.
Listen, folks, we'll be right up with the Aldermatic Watch and Lewis Reed. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
You were born with power.
Sad news for all of you, and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. But you
stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that, the below me.
Against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from the ABC News, I'm Daria Albingar. It was a chaotic scene on a busy Baghdad street after a pair of suicide bombings today. At least 70 people are dead. The BBC's Andrew North is there.
We saw two large plumes of smoke appear soon afterwards. Nearly simultaneous, these bombs, and very close together. Now, what we understand from police is that there were large crowds of people around at the time, so it appears the bombers were determined to make sure they could inflict maximum casualties. Almost certainly this was carried out by Sunni insurgents aimed at Shias.
And it occurred the day before President Bush gives his State of the Union address, where he is expected to reiterate his plan to send tens of thousands of additional troops to Iraq. ABC's Ann Compton says it sent its approval rating to a new low.
Disapproval of the war here at home is crushing the president's approval ratings. He's back down to a career low in the new ABC News Washington Post poll. 33% approve, 65% disapprove. A majority says he is not a strong leader and doesn't listen to advice. The president tells USA Today he wants his annual State of the Union address to set out some other big things like tax deductions for health insurance. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
It's a messy morning across much of the country. Icy roads in the mid-Atlantic states, more snow across the plains, and record low temperatures again in parts of California. No matter which team wins the Super Bowl, the game will be historic. For the first team, they are both coached by African-Americans, Chicago's Lovie Smith and his friend Indianapolis's Tony Dungy.
We talked about that, hey, maybe two of us will face off against each other. So you hope it happens, but realistically, it's hard to dream of that, and it's going to be great going against them.
Last time the Bears were in the big game, they were doing the shuffle 21 years ago. It's been even longer for the Colts, 36 years, when they were in Baltimore. This is ABC News.
What if I do A? What if I do B? What if I turned right instead of left? What if I do this? What if I do that? What if you decide to get in the game? What if you would miss the person that is out there for you if you didn't take action? Come on, life is no dress rehearsal. You get one shot. Stop playing what if and start doing.
If you've ever wondered, what if I went to Nats.com? We want you to know it's okay to look. In fact, Match.com is so confident that you'll find someone special within 6 months, we guarantee it. It's only at the all-new Match.com. See site for details.
Honey, remember how I felt after swing dancing?
Well, you got a pain reliever for your arthritis pain.
That wasn't as bad as trying tennis.
When you got something just for a sore shoulder.
But I'm done taking different pain relievers. Now I'm all Advil.
Mm-hmm.
It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain.
So what are we waiting for? Let's dance.
I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers for minor arthritis pain, use as directed.
Well, depending on how you look at this, reality TV could be breaking new ground. Then again, it could be reaching an all-time new low. Here's ABC's Luis Guevara.
Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Duh.
The question is asked by the Fox TV network with a new game show by the same name. Students will be on hand as experts for the adults to consult with. Questions will be based on material from elementary school textbooks. One executive said that while lots of shows measure how smart you are, quote, this is a show that will measure how dumb you are.
Get up, brain, or I'll stab you with a Q-tip.
If you want to know who to blame, the idea comes from Mark Burnett, executive producer of Survivor. Luis Schiavone, ABC News.
Do you like to do charity work? If you do, you're probably hardwired for it. Your brain is. A new study says altruism has been detected in brain scans. Now, what does this mean? Well, basically, you really can't help just how selfish or giving you are. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom. This WGNU News Report, sponsored by Candy Bouquet, 620 North Skinker. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news this morning, Missouri Governor Matt Blunt will visit four Missouri schools today to announce plans to improve student performance in math, engineering, technology, and science. Schools include Kansas City's Lincoln Prep Academy at 9 in the morning. At 10:30 a.m., the governor will be at St. Joseph, Missouri Western State University. At 2:15 p.m. in St. Louis at the Emerson Center for Engineering and Manufacturing at St. Louis Community College, and at 4 p.m. at Cape Girardeau's Career and Technical Center. In other news, two agencies with St. Louis area offices are among six firms vying to replace Kansas City-based MMG Worldwide as the ad firm responsible for the Missouri Division of Tourism's Great Escape campaign. Adamson Advertising of Clayton and Hoffman Lewis of St. Louis are among the firms now vying for the multi-million dollar contract. The other four agencies in the running are all based in Missouri as well. And finally, at this hour, the second annual St. Louis Business Journal Women's Conference is coming up January 25th at America Center downtown. The conference expects more than 1,000 women from across the Midwest and will also feature former Maryland Lieutenant Governor Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, Amy Henry, a former finalist on Donald Trump's The Apprentice, and Priscilla Hill Ardoin, AT&T's Senior Regulatory Compliance Officer. The keynote speakers will be Susie Welch and Gene Chatsky. Welch is the former editor of the Harvard Business Review, and Chatsky is a best-selling author and magazine columnist. I'm Peyton Colston, and that's this hour's update of WGNU News. It's been brought to you by Candy Bouquet, 620 North Skinker. For a bear hug this Valentine's Day, send the Teddy Bear Valentine gift basket from Candy Bouquet. Call 314-863-CANDY or visit candybouquet.com for a location near you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 5570 at the 64 split all the way to 3rd Street. Look for some delays due to an accident reported around 3rd Street. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through T.R. Hughes. Look for an accident on the right shoulder at T.R. Hughes. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant. You've got traffic building there. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and McKnight, and then again from 141 through Mason, look for some delays there. Eastbound 44 at Soccer Park and 270, look for slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSV, look for some delays there. Northbound 55 at Arsenal through 44, expect delays. And northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and Big Bend, you can expect some delays building there as well. Also, northbound 270 between Dorset and 70. Look for delays in the right exit lanes onto Highway 70. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Cloudy, patchy, freezing, drizzle this morning. Temps around the lower 30s for this evening. Mostly cloudy, low in the mid-20s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day, high around 40. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy until early morning, then becoming mostly cloudy. Then on Wednesday, pretty much clouds the same with a high in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have overcast skies, and our current temperature is sitting at 32 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brother of consciousness. Our power. Please do not
sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, there's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. It is 7 o'clock on a Monday. That means that it is time for the Aldermatic Watch. I'm here with Lewis Reed. Lewis, good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
How are you?
Great.
I want to kind of start at the top here. I want to kind of start at how the Board of Aldermen does a couple of things. Sometimes people think that because we are involved in politics that and the board is a political entity, that there is a separation of church and state, but there is a component of the board that actually acknowledges prayer. Is that right?
Yes, we before every meeting we have prayer,
and that's a long-standing tradition within the Board of Aldermen.
Yes, it is. It's actually part of the agenda, and it's a long-standing tradition. We always have prayer, you know, to open every meeting.
And how does that work? Lay that out for us.
A couple different ways. Either the president, and it's all controlled by the president of the Board of Aldermen.
Mm-hmm.
The president of the Board of Aldermen will invite local clergy to come in to offer up prayer to open a meeting. He will also, you know, if he does not bring clergy in, he will open it up with a prayer of his own.
Mm-hmm. So then what happens? If I'm in the a member of the Board of Aldermen, can I ask for a special prayer to be given for thus and such and thus and such? Can that happen?
Yes, most definitely. If you have a special prayer that you want done, or if you want anybody in your family or anything included in prayer, you tell the president of the board and it's automatically done.
Now, do you stand up as a member of the board and you say, and you articulate it then, or do you put it in writing, or do you have to do it 3 weeks in advance? How does what's the process of that?
No, it's not that stringent.
It's more informal.
Yeah, it's more informal. Mainly, you know, in the morning, right before the meeting starts, a few minutes before the meeting starts, you would, you know, approach the president and you would say, hey, you know, by the way, there's a certain suffering going on or whatever, and could you include in the, have the clergy include in the prayers, whatever, and then
One would think that out of all of the political battles that are on the board, the floor of the Board of Aldermen, after all, it is a political body, that there are a lot of political things that go into the decision-making of everything there. One would think that part of that function of the board would be probably the least political time on the board.
Most definitely. That's not, if you're going to draw battle lines or if you're going to factor politics into anything, you know.
You don't put it in prayer.
Yeah, that's inappropriate too.
Okay, because we have a story that we want to share with folks when we get back about the politics of prayer with the current president of the Board of Aldermen. The politics of prayer, how could that be? How could that be? I'm here with Alderman Lewis Reed. We will be back after this break. Please stay with us.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack. So check weather at yahoo.com. And then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show. Every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
We all know the scenario. You see a for sale sign and think, I want to invest, but real estate is complicated. Well, help is here. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land of the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
We're the host of WGNU's newest show, Let's Get Wealthy. Our show provides real techniques for the everyday consumer on how to own a home and build wealth.
Tune in to Let's Get Wealthy every Wednesday at 11 a.m. because today is the day to get wealth for yourself. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Frank.
Love makes me treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Aldermanic Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Alderman Lewis Reed. And Lewis, we were talking about prayer at the Board of Aldermen, that it is it's on the agenda. It happens every week.
Yes.
Alder people can come and ask for special prayers for whoever, whatever, and it's a function of the president of the Board of Aldermen to say, okay, sure, let's add that into the prayer. We have different clergy people that come in on a weekly basis to offer up prayer, or the prayer is articulated by the president. And I had asked the question before the break of, surely this is not a place of politics. This would have to be the one place in the function of the Board of Aldermen that politics doesn't enter into it. Prayer and politics are not one and one in this current board. But apparently that's not the case. Tell us about this.
Well, and you said it happens on the agenda, and that's true. If anybody wants to pull an agenda for the Board of Aldermen, any agenda, you'll see the second item. The first item is roll call. The second item is prayer. And under this item, that's when, like we talked about earlier, prayer is offered up, to open up the meetings. At the meeting that we're discussing, the alderwoman from the 23rd Ward, Kathy Hanrahan, went to the president prior to the meeting, along with a number of other aldermen, and said that our fellow alder person, Jennifer Florida from the 15th Ward, her son was undergoing his second brain surgery, and it was really critical because his brain was swollen, and they had to remove, parts of, his skull so that the brain couldn't continue to swell unobstructed. And we asked that the president allow the clergy to include her son, who was 12 years old, in his prayers, and he refused.
Wait a minute, let me get this straight. Jim Shrewsbury when asked the question of including in the prayer a prayer for an older woman, her 12-year-old son, who was going into the hospital for his second brain surgery. This is not.
He was undergoing the surgery during the course of the meeting, I believe.
So he was in surgery because so she wasn't there.
No,
the older woman
was
not there.
No.
These were people that went on her behalf.
Yeah.
To ask about a prayer for her son.
Exactly.
And Shrewsbury said no.
He said no. And that's even with the older woman calling in a couple days earlier asking everybody at the board to include her son in her in their prayers because she wanted to make sure her son had plenty of prayers.
And what could have possibly have been the explanation from a Jim Shrewsbury not to include somebody's child, a 12-year-old baby, under the knife on a serious kind of surgery? What's his explanation for not including that?
He said no. He said no. He would not allow the prayer to be said for this.
Did y'all not have prayer that day anyway?
We had prayer that day anyway, and instead of they took time out to pray for the two missing boys.
The ones who had been found.
The ones who had been found. They took time out to pray for that, but he refused prayer for her son.
Now, just on a human tip, just on a human basis, that's a horrible thing. That's a horrible thing for a person to deny a prayer for a 12-year-old baby.
Yes.
For anybody's 12-year-old baby. That's horrible.
It's horrible.
That's horrible. But on a political, is there more to this story than that?
There's certainly more to the story than that. And this is where it kind of, you know, it takes a turn for the worse. The people within the political circles who have talked to me have said that it may have, you know, less, well, it definitely has less to do with the son, but it may have more to do with the fact that 2 days earlier, that alderwoman of the 15th Ward, Jennifer Florida, and her organization endorsed me.
So wait a minute.
The race for president of the Board of Aldermen.
So let me get this straight. The president of the Board of Aldermen would say, is so petty as to say that I'm not going to offer up prayer for a 12-year-old child who's in probably the most serious kind of surgery that there is, brain surgery, for the second time. I'm not going to offer up a prayer. Something that doesn't cost me anything. Mm-hmm. Something that doesn't take any time out of my day. Something that doesn't even have to come out of my mouth. I'm going to block prayer for a 12-year-old baby because I'm mad at his mama and other people who didn't endorse me for the president of the Board of Aldermen.
That's precisely right, yes.
Go ahead.
In all my years at the board, that was absolutely one of my most disappointing moments of being down there, seeing that happen, and seeing it happen so callously. It was very, very disappointing. But the story doesn't stop there.
Mm.
I think it's in very poor taste what happened after that. Because what happened after that was his campaign. Shrewsbury's campaign started making it into a campaign issue against me and against the older people the older woman whose son was in surgery, saying that we were somehow leveraging that as a campaign tool,
Wait a minute. Some people out, Jennifer Florida, the older woman whose baby was in surgery, a brain surgery. She didn't call Shrewsbury and ask Shrewsbury to offer up any prayer that day. She had called earlier to talk to older people in general, but she didn't call Shrewsbury and say, please offer this prayer. Other members of the board,
yes.
went to Shrewsbury to say, as part of the given of prayer that's on the agenda, number two on the agenda of every time we have an agenda, as part of that prayer, please offer up an opportunity for prayer to be given on behalf of the 12-year-old son of an older person who was undergoing brain surgery. And Shrewsbury's campaign is saying, that's a political ploy, huh? How does that work when all he had to do was say yes for prayer?
Yes, exactly right. And again, I think it will go down in history as one of the lowest points at the Board of Aldermen in terms of playing very petty politics with something as critical as that. And my point was, I've talked to a lot of clergy in some of the churches around town since then. And, the clergy say it perfectly when they say, you know what, you may control the meetings. You may control a lot of things down there, but I'm sorry, Mr. Shrewsbury, you do not control prayer.
But he did.
He controlled it on that day.
He controlled it on that day.
Mm-hmm.
This goes to the point that Irene J. Smith has made about Shrewsbury before. She talked about how when she had a group of brought in a group of black kids into the board and the way that he talked to them, the way that he treated them, the way that he responded to them was so nasty and ugly and hateful that it spoke to the type of person that he is. This is another one of those moments that you measure a human being by, because again, it didn't take a dime to do this. It didn't take any time to do this. And good God, if you will act spitefully at the expense of a 12-year-old baby because you didn't get your political way, good God, how are you going to punish other people? And how do you punish other people when the stakes are higher in your mind?
Yeah, and also, how do you lead appropriately?
Mm.
Because if you will harbor that kind of resentment and hatred on such a little issue as a ward endorsement,
mm-hmm.
And you will put that above the safety and welfare of a 12-year-old kid, my point is, how do you lead this city in a respectful and admirable way? And that's the real question, and that's the question, we've been asking. I think that it has to be one of the lowest points in time in our city's history when that went down at the board.
Particularly as it pertains to prayer.
Yes.
Now let's move off of prayer and move to other acknowledgments that Shrewsbury had the opportunity again to demonstrate the pettiness of that it goes beyond prayer. There was some kind of another common feature of the board when somebody leaves the board, there's a procedure that happens.
Yes, when administrative assistants leave the board, when people retire from the city, when an alderman leaves the board, a resolution can be passed recognizing them for their works. And, a week ago we had an opportunity to pass a resolution for Mike McMillan, alderman, former alderman of the 19th Ward, who became the license collector for our city. And so that resolution was done during that time to recognize him for his time in office.
Mm-hmm. And what happened?
And, during the course of the meeting, when the resolution was given to him, a number of us stood so that we could have the opportunity to thank him for his work. That's also part of the process. When we pass the resolution, there's time allotted for comments. And in this case, during the time allotted for comments, the current president skipped right over that, not allowing any of us from the floor to offer up congratulatory comments to former Alderman Mike McMillan.
And he didn't shake McMillan's hand either.
Yeah, he refused to shake the Alderman's hand when the Alderman came up on the dais to accept his resolution.
I guess that's just a message to everybody that the way that Irene J. Smith was treated by Jim Shrewsbury, he didn't stop. He treats everybody that way.
Everybody
that way. Welcome to Irene J. Smith's world, because that's exactly, despite everything that other people did for him, that's who he is and what he does.
Exactly.
We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 7:30 edition. Westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant. Look for slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 approaching the Poplar Street Bridge. That top of the ramp is slow. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the PSB. Look for an accident that's been cleared at 3rd Street, but expect delays. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Big Bend. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 64 from 25th onto the 5570 merge. It is slow. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight. And then again from Timberlake Manor through Mason. Expect delays. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through T.R. Hughes. Look for an accident that's been cleared at T.R. Hughes, but there are going to be some delays as a result of that. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit into the landing. Look for no problems to report. And northbound 270 at Dorset and 70, look for delays as you approach the 70 exit lanes. And northbound 55 at Butler Hill and the 255, 270 interchange. Look for some delays there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, look forward to cloudy, patchy, freezing drizzle this morning, near steady temps in the lower 30s this evening, mostly cloudy, becoming partly cloudy over after midnight with a low in the mid-20s. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning again, then partly sunny throughout the day with a high around 40. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy until early morning, mostly cloudy throughout that evening hours with a low in the lower 20s. Then on Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a high in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy skies, 32 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Head Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen has a new time, Tuesdays from 10 until noon, right here on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Direct from Broadway, the winner of 6 2005 Tony Awards, The Light in the Piazza is the romantic new musical that transports you to 1950s Florence, Italy. You can almost feel the warmth of the Tuscan sun. As if by fate, a sudden gust of wind blows the hat from a beautiful young American woman into the grasp of a handsome young Italian. And so it begins. Broadway's ultimate love story, filled with passion, tenderness, and romance. The Light in the Piazza. The critics have hailed it a must-see, with the most romantic score of any Broadway musical since West Side Story. Don't miss The Light in the Piazza, coming to the Fox Theater for 2 weeks only, January 30th through February 11th in the U.S. Bank Broadway series, and sponsored by American Airlines. For tickets, call 314-534-1111 or order online at metrotix.com. It won the critics. It won the Tonys. Now, let it win your heart.
The Light in the Piazza.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Boom, pack, boom, pack. I want a rim shot, hey, diggy, diggy, a rim shot, hey, come on, a rim shot, hey, diggy, diggy, a rim shot, hey,
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Automatic Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Alderman Lewis Reed, and we're talking about the Board of Aldermen. On the way out, Lewis, we were talking about the way that Jim Shrewsbury treated Mike McMillan on his way out, and I was making the observation that you know, welcome to the world of Irene J. Smith when Shrewsbury tried to skip over people having an opportunity to talk about Mike McMillan and his record. That's not the first time that Shrewsbury's done that, is it?
Not at all. Not at all. That's it. In my recollection, it's the second time that he did it.
Mm-hmm.
The first time that I saw him do it was when Irene Smith was being honored when she was leaving the Board of Aldermen, and he skipped over her. He attempted to skip over her at that time also.
And what happened?
When he attempted to skip over Irene, I stood up and requested an opportunity to offer up some congratulatory comments for her because, in my estimation, she was one of the best legislators to ever come through City Hall. Because if you take a look at her background and experience being a judge and an attorney, working in just virtually every major department in city government, when a board bill came before her, she went through and she was extremely thorough in reading through those board bills, understanding the underlining intent of the board bill, and, you know, offering up nice changes in those board bills. And she was a great advocate for the people down there. As I've went around town for years after I had an opportunity to meet Irene, I've told people that she was one of the greatest legislators I think we've ever had in city government.
So you stood up to try to make certain that he didn't skip over her. And I think that that's important because sometimes people think that, okay, well, this person's acting this way just because it's this one thing. I'm an advocate of, and I always articulate, you know, when people show you who they are, believe them. When he did that to Irene J. Smith, with the whole redistricting piece, it showed me, it demonstrated to me the manner of man that Jim Shrewsbury is. Then when he was missing an absent action on the school issue as well, that shows me the manner of man that he is. Also with the Civilian Review Board, shows me the manner of legislator he is as well. So it should come as no surprise to anybody out in the land of that Board of Aldermen, particularly to like Mike McMillan's and anybody else out there, you know what? He did it to her. You shouldn't be surprised that he tried to do it to you as well.
Exactly right. Exactly right, man.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the pieces of legislation that are going through the board. But before we get to that, let me get to a couple of callers here. Mary, do you have a question or comment for Lewis Reed?
Yes, I do. Good morning. Mr. Reed, I'd like to know, how could I get a yard sign? Well, I've seen a few, and I'm in an area where I haven't seen anything anywhere around here concerning your running of it all.
Mary, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you calling in and asking for a yard sign. You can get them if you call 241.
Wait.
241-7737.
7737.
Yes.
And I'd like to say this quickly, if I may. That is the worst thing. I've been in church. My grandfather was a Baptist minister, so, you know, I went as a baby, and I've never heard anyone make a comment about someone wanting prayer like that.
And then being denied that a 12-year-old baby surgery.
Heard of anything.
Isn't that horrible?
Yeah. That's one of the worst things I've heard concerning someone getting prayer.
Isn't that awful? I think that is really one of the worst things that I've ever heard about using prayer politically like this. That's monstrous.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
And that number again, so the people have it, because people have been calling the show and asking for this number, Lewis.
It's 241-7737, and that'll get you directly to our campaign headquarters.
241-7737.
Yes.
Very good. So let's talk about some of the items that were on the agenda for January 19th.
Yes, there are a number of board bills and things moving through the board right now. A lot of them have to do with development deals across the city. So there's some transportation development districts being created, some community improvement districts being created, and also a new band tax that's mm-hmm. moving through the city. So
now,
we can talk
okay.
about
yeah, let's
that
talk thing. About this. This is board bill number 372, a ordinance imposing a city band levy. Now, when we talk about band, we're not talking about with band or anything like that. We're talking about a musical band. Okay.
Yeah.
Does the city have a band?
There are a number of bands established across the city. This bill,
mm-hmm.
The funds that would be collected by this bill would go to a municipal band.
Mm-hmm.
That band that organization would be created by some of the leading organized band groups across the city. In this case, the primary band that's pushing this bill is the Compton Heights Concert Band, and they've been established for a number of years. They hold fundraisers and everything to stay afloat, and this would certainly help them to solidify their base.
Now, let's talk about this. Where would this money come from?
These funds would come from, the assessed valuation, property tax, and things of that nature. It would come from...
Would it take a vote of the citizens to make this happen, or is it something that could be done without a vote of the citizens?
Yesterday was the first time I saw this bill.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it would probably go for a vote before the citizens.
Okay.
It would have to. Anytime you impose a tax, it has to go before the vote for it.
Now, let's talk about this for a second here, because, we live in the city of St. Louis, and there's always going to be concern about who gets the money and where the money goes and if the entire city is reflected in a tax that is applied to the entire city of St. Louis. So if you were writing this bill, since you are on the board with respect to this bill, what are some of the things that you're going to look to make certain that this bill is a reflection of the entire city of St. Louis?
I would say that these funds should be opened up so that, bands all across the city could apply for some of these funds,
mm-hmm.
or get access to some of these funds, so that it wouldn't just go to one entity, so that we can solidify the music, people who are interested in music and the municipal bands all across the city.
And the
important thing is when we create this municipal band,
mm-hmm.
what is the makeup of the municipal band? Is the municipal band a entity or a board of directors that sits above a number of bands that can be part of the municipal band organization? So that on something like this, that's where you would look, is the makeup of that organization, the municipal band. What is it?
And so, because the municipal band right now doesn't exist.
It does not exist.
There is no municipal band for the city of St. Louis.
No.
So, this provides an opportunity for the legislation to be written clearly and fairly.
Exactly.
What committee is this coming out of? Can we tell?
No. This would probably go before Ways and Means.
Okay, so, but you would have an opportunity as a legislator to make certain that if such a thing is created and if it does go before the people, it is actually going before the people in a legislative form that protects all of the interests of the citizens.
Exactly right. And this is, on the surface, it looks like a little thing.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. I mean, if we're talking about a half cent for...
That's the language in this paraphrase isn't really correct.
Should it be about a half a cent per dollar assessed? Is that what it should be?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, but that's a lot of money, isn't it?
Well, I think it's actually less than that.
Okay.
The actual language.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this language is a typo that we're looking at here.
Okay.
But I think it will raise on average of $500,000 a year, if my memory serves me right.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. It's
that's
a lot of money.
Money.
It can support a lot of band activity across this city.
And it also can give impetus to and support to communities that don't have a band for their park.
Yes.
Now we can get a band for our park because now there's funding out there to support a band for our park.
Exactly right. But where the rubber meets the road, and this is where we have to be very aware as this thing is being structured, is the structure of that municipal band. This is one of these things that can fly by you and you never even know it was there. You've never seen a dime for it. It hasn't helped your community at all.
But if we're
aware and we stay on top of it, we can drive this thing in a way that is going to benefit everybody.
And so I guess now would be a good time for people out here listening who know who their older people are, and all of the teachers that are listening out there. There could be opportunities for school bands to be part of this municipal band. There could be that component
exactly.
of the municipal band, because because there are schools out there that don't have bands because they don't have funding for bands.
Yes.
So they could be part of this, too. So I would suggest, if this is an opportunity, let me ask you this. Is this an opportunity for people to call their older people right now and to ask them, especially those older people that are on the Ways and Means Committee, to weigh in on the definition of what is a municipal band?
That's it. You got it. That's exactly what we need to be looking at now, because once it passes...
It's done.
Once it passes and you allow it just to be structured outside of your power,
mm-hmm.
without paying attention to that, you can't come back later and complain that you did not receive any benefit from it.
Absolutely.
So you need to weigh in on this thing now.
And like you said, every alder person is not on Ways and Means. Every alder person doesn't necessarily know all of the things that are coming out, and by the time some of them see it, it's a little more difficult to get some changes made. All you can really do is stand on the floor and try to change people's minds against it. So right now, at this is the very beginning. This is the first reading. This
yes.
is the first reading of this bill. So now it is time to go for older people to define what this municipal band is, because that could be a whole, that's $500,000.
A year.
That's $500,000 a year, every year.
Yes.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the automatic watch.
Good morning, Liz. And good morning, Alderman Reed.
Good morning.
This is Martha West, Alderman Reed. I'm still waiting for that graffiti to be removed.
Okay, Miss. Miss West, we sent, and that's up in the first ward, right?
Right.
Yeah, we sent that to the Citizen Service Bureau. I don't know if it's because it's winter, they haven't gotten out there yet, but I will talk to the alderman also about it.
All right, and caller.
Okay, we're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown, the Aldermatic Watch. I'm here with Lewis Reed. Stay with us.
Later today on the Sloan Ranger Show, in the 5 p.m. hour, Lloyd gets a first-hand account of the situation in Iraq from Michael Yon, a reporter embedded in Baghdad. That's tonight from 5 till 7, Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is Judy Moskoff. Join me for A Gardener's Notebook every Monday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. As a master gardener, I'll answer your questions about what grows and what doesn't, how to control annoying garden pests, and help you create colorful flower gardens and the freshest fruits and vegetables you've ever tasted. Join me, Judy Moskoff, for A Gardener's Notebook, Mondays at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the gardening issues that matter most to you.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Thank you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Aldermatic Watch. I'm here with Alderman Lewis Reed. And, Lewis, we were talking on the way out about this one bill, this board bill, and people need to make a note of it. That's Board Bill 372, a bill introduced by Conway about creating, getting money, getting a new tax for the purpose of creating and supporting a municipal ban. We want to make certain that the definition of this municipal ban is a definition that gives opportunity to all citizens across the entire metropolitan area to be part of this.
That's exactly right.
And you had talked about it's important for people to contact their board members, their aldermen, and their aldermen and alderwomen, but also in particular the committee members. Can you give us a name of the members of the Ways and Means Committee?
Well, on the Ways and Means Committee, you have Steve Conway, the sponsor of the bill, who is the chair of Ways and Means. You have Jennifer Florida, the vice chair of Ways and Means. You have Donna Barringer, the alderwoman from the 16th Ward. You have Jeffrey Boyd, the alderman from the 22nd Ward. Dion Flowers, the alderwoman from the 2nd Ward. Terry Kennedy, the alderman from the 18th Ward. Bernice Jones King, the alderwoman from the 21st Ward, Mike McMillan, who that seat is currently vacant, Kenneth Ortman, the alderman from the 9th Ward, Matt Villa, the alderman from the 11th Ward, Fred Wessels, who's the alderman from the 13th Ward, who's also the chair of the HUDs Committee, and then Frank Williamson, the alderman from the 26th Ward.
And interestingly enough, when we look at the north side representation on this committee, we have Jeffrey Boyd, Terry Kennedy, and Frank Williamson all up for re-election in this round.
Yes, they
are. So all three of them are up for election. It's really a... And then we have Jeffrey Boyd, Dion Flowers, Terry Kennedy, and Frank Williamson, four of the people that are up for re-election.
Yeah.
So four of the north side representation, and then we have Bernice Jones King. So people need to call their alder people about weighing in on defining this municipal ban and making certain that it's representative of the entire city.
Yes, and then that way, that's the only way you get access to funding.
Okay, so let's talk about some more board bills that came up, or more issues that came up in the last automatic meeting.
Like I said, there's a number of other bills directed at moving developments and things of that nature through. Phyllis Young is putting together a new community improvement district on Gentry's Landing.
Okay, and that's what that's Board Bill
365.
Mm-hmm.
And under that board bill, generally with these community improvement districts, what they allow you to do is assess an additional property tax, an additional tax on the square footage on the property, to allow you to use those funds for various improvements in the community. You can also define those funds to be used for security, streetscape improvements, whatever. So they're starting to put this community improvement district together, so this will be one that we'll take a look at and discuss at a later date. Some of the things that the funding will be used for.
And also the big issue that went through the board this week is the issue with Forest Park.
Yes.
Talk to us about that. Where are we with that?
The board bills were introduced. I will have an opportunity today to take a very good look at them and to really, take a look at some of the background stuff as it pertains to that bill, those bills. And the original bills, they were looking to purchase the land.
Mm-hmm.
It is no longer a purchase. They're looking to establish a long-term lease on the land that they already have a lease on,
mm-hmm.
Where their parking garage is built. And the plan is to have, I guess, some about $1 billion new development on that land that they currently have their parking garage on.
Mm-hmm. But there's the tennis court piece, too, that the tennis courts that are there right now would be removed?
Yeah, the tennis courts would be relocated.
Mm-hmm.
Relocated. And, again, that's some of the stuff I'll find out today, where the tennis courts will be, relocated to, when the development is supposed to take place, what kind of development is going to be, you know, the minority participation goals. I know that they're committed to meeting those. We want them to exceed those minority participation goals. And also the additional lease funds that would come back to the city. What will happen to those funds?
Mm-hmm.
Where they pay on average over $150,000 a year right now. $150,000 a year for the lease of the property that they have now. That is said to be going up to about $2 million a year. So what happens to that $2 million, that mm-hmm. incremental increase? One of the things that I'd like to see done, and this is some of the stuff we'll be working through and finding out if it's doable, because it may not be doable, but this is what I would like to look at today, is carving off a portion of those funds and directing those funds to some programs that would help our community. We can, if the funds can be redirected so that we can set up some type of a scholarship funds for people who kids may need additional tutoring services who cannot get those tutoring services today across our city because they can't afford to do it. They can apply for this grant.
Mm-hmm.
Kids that need, you know, education scholarships. Let them apply for scholarships through the fund that we would set up. And also to make sure that, you know, the parks that fund goes to improve, those parks are in areas that really need the park improvements. And we can do that based on the average income of the people surrounding the park and the students that, you know, also we can say, take a look at the density of kids surrounding the park and maybe even take a look at the density of kids as it relates to them getting, you know, free and reduced lunches in the schools.
And we need to have a discussion, Lewis, about, okay, they're removing this tennis court. That's a big deal to a lot of people. That's a big deal to lots and lots of people. How don't we need to make certain that when this discussion takes place, that and this decision is made, that the parks or the tennis court be in a place that is accessible to lots of people that use
most,
the park.
Most.
And we need a definition or a definite not a definition a definite statement about where this park where the tennis courts are going to be.
Oh, most definitely. I think anything that would be displaced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in this case, it would be the tennis courts.
Mm-hmm.
The tennis courts would have to be in a place that's accessible, that's acceptable also by the people that use it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would automatically support that.
Mm-hmm. And when will we know? I mean, when will we know? How long does this process normally take? And is the decision final on this?
Is the decision final? Not from me, it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, you know, again, like I said, today is the day I will become fully baptized in this deal. So for me, the decision isn't final in terms of where the tennis courts will go, you know, where the funds will go, all that stuff. I think that's all the things that we need to be negotiating and negotiating hard right now.
Mm-hmm. And with respect to how long does a deal like this take? I mean,
can we know? Yeah, to get it through the Board of Aldermen, it depends on when the committee hearing, you know, they can have, you know, wait 2-3 weeks for a committee hearing, or they can have a committee hearing right away on it. Then when it comes back from the committee hearing, it has to go through more readings. So, you know, it's hard to determine at this point this deal, how long it'll take to go through the board, because there could be, you know, changes in the subcommittee bills, and it may be held up in committee and things of that nature. But.
Okay, so and we only have like 3 more minutes left here, so let's talk a little bit about the campaign. How's it going? What kind of endorsements are we getting out here? How's the campaign moving? How's the campaign looking? The campaign for president of the Board of Aldermen.
The campaign is just going absolutely incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
It's going well all across the city. We've been able to get around Jim Shrewsbury's original campaign theme and his campaign plan when he was putting out there and trying to say we were an agent of the mayor, people have seen that that's not true, and they've been able to see through that and figure out where that message was coming from, and that was coming directly from his camp. We've been able to pick up endorsements all throughout the north side. We have everybody from the Alderman Troop in the first ward, the Elamines, the third ward we have Bosley and his committee people. The fourth ward we have O.L. Sheldon and Sam Moore. The fifth ward, the second ward we have Dion Flowers and her committee people. And the fifth ward, we have Alderwoman April Ford Griffin, Rodney Hubbard, Cheryl Nelson. Then you come down to sixth ward, we have myself and my committee people. But anyway, you go through the city, and we have most of the north side already locked up, and we're moving. And it's exciting to be down there in the campaign headquarters, because you come down there and you have, you know, all the people down there working full time to really make sure that this change happens, because, you know, we have a window of opportunity to become a great city again.
Absolutely.
But to do that, we have to get moving. We're going to need every available hand on deck. Of course, this next 40 days.
Phone number.
241-7737.
241-7737. There are plenty of signs. There are plenty of display material. Call down there if they want to volunteer, if they want to help.
Come on down. We need you. We want you. You're welcome. Come on down.
And be
enjoy.
Part of this change. Be part of this change. Lewis Reed, thank you so much. I will talk to you on Monday again.
Yes.
All right. Stay with me, folks. I'll be back after this break.
All in this nation who dare listen to us.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. At least 70 people are dead after a pair of suicide bombings today in a busy Baghdad neighborhood. ABC's Dan Harris is there.
Two nearly simultaneous bombs went off in a market in downtown Baghdad, killing dozens of people, wounding dozens more. Our police source tells us the death toll may rise as the day goes on. The bombs went off in a predominantly Shiite area in central Baghdad. The first bomb was left in a bag amid stalls of vendors selling things like DVDs and secondhand clothing. The second was a car bomb parked just feet away.
And just a day before President Bush gives his State of the Union address, where he's expected to reiterate his reasons for sending tens of thousands of additional troops to Iraq. An ABC News Washington Post poll says that could be a hard sell. Polling director Gary Langer.
President Bush faces the nation this week more unpopular than any president on the eve of a State of the Union address since Richard Nixon in 1974. Only 33% of Americans approve of Mr. Bush's job performance, matching the lowest of his career. Indeed, only three post-war presidents have gone lower. Mr. Bush's problem is Iraq. 64% call the war a mistake. More than said so about Vietnam during that conflict 35 years ago.
The poll has a three-point margin of error. It's not much fun driving around Washington, D.C. today. Ask this woman.
Challenge and scary.
Roads are slick after the first real blast of winter. Lots of schools are closed or delayed there and in parts of Maryland or Virginia. In case you didn't hear, Hillary Rodham Clinton is running for president. The senator from New York and former first lady is forming an exploratory committee. But where was her husband? Here's ABC's Kate Snow.
He is one of their biggest assets in terms of fundraising because he's so popular. He's still got a 60% approval rating among the American people. You know, he's thought of as one of the biggest political minds out there. But he can also be a liability, and they know that. And they know they're going to kind of keep him separate from her for a little while.
This is ABC News.
Sam's Club has everything you need for your next football party. From Tostitos to Little Smokies to furniture taken straight from John Elway's house.
You mean my furniture line?
Yes, they'll be lining up at Sam's Club for party items like Pace Junkie's salsa and John Elway's couch.
Not my sofa, my casual living collection.
Well, I can't cancel the movers now.
Yeah? How about I cancel your face?
Sam's Club, when only the greatest party of all time will do. 10% service fee applies to non-member purchases. Elway furniture available at samsclub.com.
If you have a family history of heart disease, listen to what consumers say about Cro-Max.
I started taking Cro-Max as a mineral supplement once my mother was diagnosed with heart disease. My doctor said, keep it up because my blood work shows it's working.
Cro-Max Chromium Picolinate is patented for its nutritional benefits to help promote healthy blood sugar and cholesterol levels, increase energy, and fight weight gain. Take control of your health with Cro-Max. Look for the yellow and blue Cromax box in the vitamin aisle at fine drug, grocery stores, and super centers.
Mondays are tough enough. Do we really need this? ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey says this is officially the most depressing day of the year.
Are you sick of the weather? Worried about holiday bills? Already broken that New Year resolution? Welcome to Blue Monday.
Blue Monday. How are you, Blue Monday?
A psychologist at Cardiff University in Wales says January 22nd is the bluest Monday of the year. He used a math formula combining winter weather, Christmas debt, and broken New Year's promises to reach that conclusion. So if rainy days and Mondays always get you down, this one, according to the professor, could be a doozy. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Now, there aren't too many coaches who get their team to the Super Bowl, but Chicago's Lovie Smith and Tony Dungy of Indianapolis are, and they're making history. They're the first African-American head coaches to get to the big game. They're also good friends. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
It's time for another WGNU News update. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news this morning, a new study from the public policy research organization, the Show Me Institute, is being touted by a professor from Mizzou as a plan that could spark an economic revival. Professor Joseph Haslig's new study is a follow-up to a March 2006 study that said large cities with earnings taxes experienced lower growth than those without. The new study describes how St. Louis could replace the earnings tax without affecting city services. Haslig is a professor of economics at the University of Missouri-Columbia and the executive director of the Economic and Policy Analysis Research Center. In other news, the St. Louis area's first Lamborghini dealership is coming to Chesterfield later this year. J.J. Mills and Graham Hill are expanding their existing Bentley and Maserati dealership to include a Lamborghini dealership by purchasing 2.5 acres adjacent to their current facility. Chesterfield location will be Lamborghini's 100th dealership worldwide. And finally, at this hour, authorities say an 11-year-old girl was summoned by a motorist as she waited for a school bus on South Kings Highway Thursday morning. The motorist is reported to have stopped and summoned the girl around 8:15 a.m. The girl says she became frightened and ran away. And that's an update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston reporting.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 270 from 367 through 170. Look for an accident. Left lane's blocked at 170, and there's a stall on the right shoulder, not helping matters. Westbound 270 from Canal Bridge through Chain of Rocks Bridge. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an accident on the Chain of Rocks Bridge. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Big Bend. It is slow around the 44 interchange. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason Road. And again, east of Spady through McKnight, look for delays. Northbound 94 Kisker, look for an accident there. Eastbound 78 Highway K through T.R. Hughes, look for traffic easing this hour. Northbound Route 3, that approach onto the Poplar Street Bridge is starting to ease up. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit into the landing, you can expect no delays. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, cloudy skies, patchy drizzle in the morning, near steady temps in the lower 30s this evening. Mostly cloudy, low in the mid-20s. Moving on to Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day. The high will only be around 40. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy until early morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day, low in the upper 20s. And on Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s. Pretty much clouds all the way through this week. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll look at more traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Up next, more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Riveting Radio right here on AM 920. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Our power. Please do not
was shot and was killed tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get up, get to me. In the 9 o'clock hour, Mondays at 9. Oil. That's right. We're going to be talking about oil. Yep, it looks like legislation is almost completed in the Iraqi legislature pertaining to giving away all their oil. They couldn't get it done with Saddam Hussein being alive. Well, now that he's dead, they're going to go get there. So we're going to talk about that in the 9 o'clock hour when we have our guest to come on to talk about that. So you don't want to miss the 9 o'clock hour. We've got to stay on top of that because the rest of the media is not staying on top of that. Antonia Usit is going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And I just want to remind you all why we are doing what we do. Why we do what we do. Because there's so much at stake. When 25 of our men and women, our babies, are killed in one day. This is... We have a lot. We have a lot to talk about. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. I'll be back after this.
Can't stop talking about the remarkable results they get with their Bowflex Tread Climber machine.
I lost over 20 pounds working out on the Tread Climber.
I've lost almost 10 inches off my waist.
The Bowflex Tread Climber machine combines the stepping motion of a stepper with the walking motion of a treadmill. It's the low-impact way to burn up to twice the calories of a treadmill at the same speed.
It's really strengthened my core, my abs, and there's no impact on my joints.
Call 1-800-888-7635 for a free informational
DVD.
I'm in better shape now than I was 20 years ago.
Get a Bowflex Tread Climber machine for no money down and payments as low as $24 a month.
I'm 40 and I am in the best shape of my adult life.
Be lean. Be fit. Be Bowflex. For a free DVD, call 1-800-888-7635. 1-800-888-7635. On approved Bowflex credit card purchases, monthly payment is 1.5% of the purchase plus any late fee. The number of months you pay and total amount of minimum monthly payments depends on additional purchase and account balances. Call for details.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609. That is the fax. Get up. Get to me. My goodness gracious. We have so much stuff to talk about. And if you want a toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. Wow. I don't know. There are so many issues out here that are percolating across the nation, across the world. So many stories that and deserve our attention, even though we are pulled in so many directions constantly. So many directions. And the other piece of this world that we live in, that not only does it pull us in so many directions, but it also it moves us so quickly. The presidential election is not until 2008, but already we are consumed with stories about what the election is going to have, what impact the election is going to have, who's going to win, why they're going to win, who's going to get the votes, why they're going to get the votes, etc. And so I'm going to talk about one of those possibilities out here, Barack Obama, in just one moment. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hello, Liz. How you doing this
Turtle,
morning?
Good morning. How are you?
Happy birthday. I get a chance to say it to you.
Well, thank you.
You're Capricorn, same as I.
Capricorns rock.
Yes, ma'am. You just had an alderman on or something earlier?
Yes, of course. I have. Wait a minute. Let me let you know. What I had on is the same thing I have on every Monday at 7 o'clock. Lewis Reed with the Aldermanic Watch. Lewis Reed is also running for president of the Board of Aldermen. Talk to me.
Yes, ma'am. I know that. I hear it every Monday.
Okay.
Well, what I want to know is how many are these people trying to keep the state out of taking over the schools? That's okay. They want us to vote for all their junk they want to put up. but they don't want to help us keep the state out of the school business.
One of the things that I have said time and time and time again, and Louis Reed has made it very clear that does not support a state takeover, and he said it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
People like the current president of the Board of Aldermen has... what is so interesting is that one would think that he would really have a statement or two or three or four about this, given the fact that Francis Slay's suggestion is that three guys, none of whom have any experience in education, run the school board. One of them is out of state, Baby Boy Blunt, Francis Slay, and Jim Shrewsbury. And yet and still, Jim Shrewsbury, as the president of the Board of Aldermen, even though the plan out there that is being talked about would put him in the decision-making chair, he hasn't said jack.
He does something.
Isn't that awful?
That's terrible.
Isn't that awful? And did you hear the other story that Louis Reed brought up about him today, the Jim Shrewsbury?
Yes, ma'am.
About the prayer piece?
Ain't that something?
Okay, the fact that because Jennifer Florida, herself, and her ward organization endorsed Louis Reed, when came time for prayer is the second item on the Board of Aldermen's agenda every single week, when it came time to give a prayer for her 12-year-old son who was going under the knife for brain surgery, her baby, he said no prayer for him. That's a monstrous act. That is a monstrous, monstrous, monstrous act.
That sure is.
Oh, that's...
And I don't like them people want us to vote for them, give them money, but they want how to help the North Side keep their school
that's
and
fact.
Keep them out of the state hands.
That's
I don't
a fact.
Appreciate that
that's
at all.
A fact. And you know what? Shrewsbury could have asked for a hearing on that, could have made a public statement on that, and he's done none of that. And he was silent during the Roberti days, too.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, now.
Thank you very much, Liz.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Liz.
Good morning.
I'd just like to ask you a question, please.
Sure.
How in the name of God could they want to take prayer out of school, but yet still they pray when they go into their little meeting?
Well, here's the thing, and let's define who the they are. With respect to prayer in school, the challenge with prayer in school, and the reason why there isn't prayer in school, is because of the what has happened is that 90% of the prayer that was in school, was 100% of it was Christian. And there are other people that pray in completely different ways. How do we, as a society, have prayer in school that is exclusively one type of prayer? And there are also people that don't believe in prayer. So how do we have that? And I know that there are exceptions for governmental bodies. For example, when the president is sworn in, there is a prayer. When the United States Senate begins, there are prayers. When the United States Congress begins, there are prayers. There are people that have been hired for prayer in those situations. Those are some exceptions that have been carved out. But with respect to schools, that's the concern. And shouldn't we have the concern that, I remember when I went to grade school, and we stood up to do the Pledge of Allegiance. There was one little girl who was a Jehovah's Witness who didn't stand up because that was not part of, they don't take oaths, or they don't, one nation under God, et cetera, et cetera. They don't do that. I think, what do you think about, shouldn't we be concerned about all children's?
Yes, ma'am, because my favorite school, when she eat her lunch, she used to pray, and they told her, no, you can't do that.
They said she couldn't pray to herself?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, come on. Because she can. The law says she can pray to herself.
Well,
they were wrong.
They told her, don't do that.
Well, okay. Well, they were wrong in doing that. She's allowed to pray to herself. There is no place in school that says that you can't pray to yourself. So they were wrong in doing that. That's illegal for them to do that to her. So they were wrong.
Thank you.
Okay. 1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone.
Liz Brown.
Phone on the car phone.
Belated happy birthday, Liz.
Thank you.
Hey, you was going to talk about Barack Obama.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. You know, why is it that people, the first thing that comes out their mouth is that, oh, he's not qualified? Or if it's a female, oh, she's not qualified. I want people to know George Bush has been president 6 years, and he still ain't qualified. So, I mean, this is amazing when I hear this. What we need as a president, we need an intelligent person who can articulate, who can sit up and look at what's going on and say, let's get together, let's put some things together, let's make this country work. You know, there's no qualifications necessary. You got all kind of people out there you're going to bring into your cabinet.
I heard people actually say on my show, they actually said it out their mouth, and I heard people not on my show saying this. When people like you and me were out here just putting our foot up up anything that we could get it in with respect to the fact that Boy George had no qualifications to be the president of the United States, people said out their mouth, well, you don't have to be smart to be president. All you have to do is surround yourself with smart people.
You see what I'm saying?
So now, so we've gone from you don't have to be smart to you have to have all of this kind of stuff. What was his resume? What was his resume? He was a one-term, well, he was a failed congressional candidate. He was a failed businessman. He was a failed human being with respect to being a drug addict. He had a criminal record. He had a failed reputation or failed experience as serving his country.
A
failed academically, okay? Failed in his personal relationships. Failed in just common decency. Failed. And then he ran a state that didn't even have a strong governorship for one term. And he's supposed to be, and he had enough cojones to be president? Come on.
That's what I'm saying. You know, it's like their memories are always so short. It's almost like when they're dealing with their own history, their memory is so short. And everybody around the world is like them. And when I say that, when I'm talking about them, I'm talking about the 51% that put this clown in office. You know, it just amazes me what comes out of the mouth of some of these people to get on the radio, they get on TV, they get out here and they speak about this president. And what, we had 25 more soldiers die this weekend?
That is correct.
You know, and how many Iraqis died? I heard 70-something this morning, or 125.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is madness. And then when Maliki says anything to him, after he goes along with their little party line, next thing he says to the people behind the back, he'll sit up there and say, well, look, if I can just get America to leave, just get out of my country. That's what we need to do. We need to get out of there, let those people handle their own business. I mean, even Saddam Hussein kept them together. They weren't killing each other.
That's a fact.
You know, so, I mean, and then they want to sit up here and make it like it's so for this to happen. The reason it's not working, people, is because America is disingenuous about the way they're going about it.
This administration.
They're lying to people.
This administration.
They want to take their oil, they want to take control of their country, and they don't want them to do that. And neither do those so-called insurgents. The so-called insurgents are there because they know what America's up to. They know America's history.
And what, and in the next hour, we're going to be talking to my guest this morning is going to be talking about the piece of legislation, the last piece of legislation in the Iraqi government that would give privatization rights to all of these oil companies that couldn't get in when Saddam Hussein was there.
And the only people that don't know America's history is Americans.
All right. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
morning, St. Louis, 28 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 8:30 edition. Northbound 270 from Teston Ferry through Big Bend, slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight. Look for delays as well as Maryville Center through Mason Road. You've got some delays there as well. Westbound 270 from 367 to 170. Look for traffic easing due to an accident has been cleared to the side at 170. There's still a stall there, though, as well, so it's causing some delays. Northbound Route 3 under the Poplar Street Bridge, that ramp is looking good. Westbound King Bridge from the gravel pit into the landing looks good. Westbound 270 from Canal Bridge through Chain of Rocks Bridge. Look for an accident's been cleared. That's at the Chain of Rocks Bridge, but there's going to be some delays there. Northbound 94 at Kisker Road. Look for an accident there. And eastbound 70 from K through T.R. Hughes. Look for some delays. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, cloudy, patchy drizzle this morning, possibly freezing drizzle. The steady temps will be in the lower 30s. This evening, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-20s. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day. The high is expected around 40. It looks like the high point all week. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy until early morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Then on Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 32 degrees and cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
In need of financial information that can change your life? Then you need to listen to the Pastor's Hour to Empower each and every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock here on WGNU. Hosted by Minister Ernest Greenlee, Reverend James Willoughby, Mr. Robani, Miss Daisy, and Doc Brown. It's designed to provide solutions to the needs of the people, the church, pastors, seniors, youth, and the community at large. Remember, your life does have value. All you need to do is unlock the potential. Find out how on the Pastor's Hour to Empower every Tuesday night at 8 here on AM 920 WGNU. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Every ghetto, every city, and suburban place I've been, make me recall my days in the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot, don't forget what you got. Looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back. You know it's hot, don't forget what you got. Looking back, looking back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454 0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Toll free me at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. What? We have three people that have announced their candidacy. One of them in a very sputtering, reactive way. Hillary Clinton. I remember a time when I really admired Hillary Clinton. Within the first couple of days of the election of Bill Clinton, I thought, okay, here we have a woman lawyer. I'm a woman lawyer. Here we have somebody that's willing to take on the establishment, what appeared to be a willingness to take on the establishment with the health care issue. A woman that knew everything about every bit of the policy and stuff that she was working on, knew it all. And once they beat her up on that, they backed all the way up. But a woman that was so calculating that on the day that... check this out. I mean, this is ice water. And I think that everybody needs to have a bit of ice water flowing through their veins at one time or another. Because sometimes there are some very hard decisions that we have to make. And you have to remove yourself to make some of these decisions. So ice water, as a rule, is necessary. But as a constant source... a fluid flowing through your veins, it's not a good thing. Just feel this for a second. Just understand what Hillary Clinton is able to do. Now, I can't imagine having your man, your husband, fronted on national TV in front of God and everybody, like your most personal business, irrespective of whatever kind of relationship they had as husband and wife. They could have had the kind of relationship where he was allowed to do that, but that was their business. They could have had that. Plenty of people have that type of relationship in America, in the world. It wouldn't be the first time. But to have all of your business out in front of everybody like that, because your husband did something so stupid and irresponsible and violating every vow that you had ever taken, that's a whole different thing. A lot of women would have gone completely bonkers over that. She didn't. So I'm just thinking, okay, didn't go bonkers over that. You did stand by your man. Which brings me back to the ice water component here. Check this out. On the day that the United States Congress voted not to impeach her husband, she made the decision that she was going to run for the United States Senate. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. And that's a calculating thing. And she made that decision on February 12th, 1999, the very day that the Senate was voting not to remove her husband for office. She met in the White House's family headquarters with New York Democrat Harold Ike, a former Clinton administration deputy chief of staff, to talk about a Senate run. And her own political career began in 1998 when Daniel Patrick Moynihan said he would not seek re-election. And then she started talking about replacing him. That takes a lot of steely resolve. It really, really, really does. But the other piece of that is that, what kind of woman does that make her? Does it make her a politically crafty person? Or does it make her a good leader? Is she smart? Or is she merely calculating? Is she smart in a good way? Is she calculating in a good way to get good things done? Or is she merely gifted with the ability to calculate to get to what she wants? And there is a difference. I mean, there's a lot of strategy involved in anybody's decision in life. And many, I mean, there are some things that happen solely as a decision from God of, okay, this is going to happen like this. But there's strategy involved in lots and lots and lots of things. And I'm not a critic of strategy. But dang, calculation and strategy, calculation's another thing. Is she simply a good strategist, or is she a calculating politician whose calculations only go as far as her ability to get herself in office? Because I haven't seen that kind of strategy, that kind of effort put forth to get big things that this nation needs done. Standing on the side of an issue of flag burning is a political calculation designed to get her into the White House. What does that do for us? And on the other hand, I see people like John Edwards, who was wrong on the war, but did admit to being wrong on the war. He still advocated tax fairness. He's still advocating universal health care. He's still advocating living wage protections. And he spending a lot of time talking with people that are also about those issues. Are those political calculations? Yeah. Is it? Yeah. But who benefits from the political calculation of taking a stance on flag burning? And a person that is politically calculating on taking a stance on universal health care. Who are the potential beneficiaries of those two political positions? I don't see a lot of change in anybody's community with a position against flag burning. I see a lot of change in the entire country with somebody who was advocating on behalf of universal health care. Now, in all fairness, Hillary Clinton did say, is she going to be talking about universal health care, huh? So you got to ask the question. You've been running for presidency for 7 years. 7 years. How many times have you said universal health care during that 7-year period? Well, actually, you've been running for almost 9 years. Since 1998. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. My name is Liz Brown. Oh, and I want to apologize for the the educational forum that was supposed to take place on Saturday. It was canceled due to the anticipation of snow. So we were unable to have the forum, and I didn't know about it until after on Saturday or late on Friday. So I wasn't able to let you all know that the meeting was not going to be taking place. The forum is not going to be taking place. It has been rescheduled, and I will give you the date for that tomorrow. So I apologize for that. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about oil. Our guest will be Antonia Juarez. She will be talking about how close we are, because the Iraqi draft law on oil revenue appears to be very close. We're going to be talking about that so that you stay on top of that issue. That'll be our Mondays at 9 segment. Stay with me. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back.
Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And if you want a toll-free, long-distance me, 1-877-920-WGNU. We're going to be doing a show later this week on Walmart. What is going on with Walmart? I want to give you a teaser for that. Walmart is entered the market not too long ago. And I think we reported it on this show. And I know that I talked about it. They entered the organic market. They were going to be selling organic food. There were concerns that were articulated at that time. Oh, my God, if Walmart is going to be doing organic, it's going to push all these organic. It's going to change the standards of all organic food. They're going to be pressuring to make it easier for more different types of foods that aren't organic to be defined as organic. And they're going to push organic farmers out of the marketplace. Well, it turns out that Walmart is under investigation for trying to pass off non-organic food as organic. What are the odds? Trying to tap into that billion-dollar whole food market. It has been accused of using misleading labeling that is tantamount to consumer fraud. There's also an investigation into whether Walmart is placing natural produce on the shelf with shelf space labeled as containing organic items. People, organizations out here have found dozens of examples of Walmart's mislabeling products, from all-natural yogurt to soya milk made from organic soybeans. Now, Walmart, in its defense, is saying that, well, you just need to look at the U.S., look for the USDA label. The reason why, and let's be clear, Walmart is not going green because they believe in it. They're going green because that's where they say the dollars are. That's their going green. They have a different concept of going green. They're going where the dollars are. People spend a lot of money, affluent people. Unfortunately, in this country, organic food is very expensive. And the people that spend the most money on it have a lot of money. So they're looking for the green that you have to bring. They're trying to get the people with money into Walmart that wouldn't necessarily go to Walmart. And Sam's Clubs. And also, if you will, to muddy the water, to make it hard to see about the integrity of organic foods. Because if you keep confusing people about what's organic, what's natural, what's this, people will give up and just buy anything. And that means you can sell anything. So what are the odds, ladies and gentlemen? What are the odds of Walmart cheating in their selling of organic foods? We're going to be talking to some folks that are tracking. It's not tracking what Walmart is doing. It's not just organic, trying to pass off non-organic foods as organic. Walmart is doing all kinds of stuff. One 877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget that you can also catch an hour. If you've missed an hour, go catch an hour at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. You can catch all of the hours that you have missed right there at whiterosesociety.org. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. There are three people to put your lay your eyes on as you watch this. Let's see, what's the word I'm looking for? This diversity that is shaping up in the Democratic Party. We won't have this type of diversity shaping up in the Republican Party, insofar as presidential wannabes. We have a Hispanic. We have an African. And we have a European woman running for the United States presidency on the Democratic ticket. It's going to be interesting. And then, you in some respects, you have a white guy, Edwards, that is more progressive than all of them. Isn't that interesting? These are amazing times. These are amazing times that we are living in. It's going to be interesting to see how the governor of a state that is on the border with Mexico, how he's going to frame his campaign with regard to our so-called border issues. It's going to be interesting to see how he ends up framing that, because that's going to be one of the issues that defines the election in a lot of those states. It's going to be interesting to see how Obama frames that issue. It's going to be interesting to see how Hillary, who is a hawk, a self-proclaimed hawk, how she is going to frame that issue. We are in on we're just on the edge of having a Democratic presidential race, at least for the president, Democratic nomination, to have one of the most diverse opportunities in history. Bill Richardson, as a Hispanic, said, "I can bring this country together. I'm a negotiator. I brought countries together. I've rescued Americans, hostages, and servicemen. We have right now is an opportunity to deal with major issues that are dividing this country. I have the experience. I've been to Iraq. I've negotiated with Saddam Hussein. I was Secretary of Energy. I increased energy efficiency in our country. I have been governor. I've created 86,000 jobs in 4 years. I've cut taxes. I've brought economic growth to our state. I've made schools better. I have the strongest record on the environment and dealing with clean energy and global warming. A lot of people give speeches on these issues. I've actually done it." Huh. And as he was announcing today, he's on This Week with George Stephanopoulos. Richardson said, "I believe the country would be ready for a woman president, an African-American president, a Hispanic president, but I wouldn't run as a Hispanic candidate. I would run as an American, proud to be Hispanic, proud to be proud of my heritage." He said, "Our next president of the United States must get our troops out of Iraq without delay. The United States should set a timetable for phased withdrawals that has the U.S. combat troops out of Iraq by year's end. The troops should be redeployed to Afghanistan to wage the war on terrorism." This is a person that was born in Pasadena but grew up in Mexico City until he was a teenager. He's Mexican. His mother still lives in Mexico, and his father died in 1972. You know what? I think this is just going to be a just for the racists and the intolerance out there. They're going to have a super field day. They are going to have a super duper field day with Barack Obama's daddy being Kenyan. You know, from Richardson's mama still living in Mexico. Oh, they're going to, from Hillary Clinton, a chick. Oh, the racists and the intolerance and the sexist, they are going to have they're just going to implode. They are going to implode. It's going to be, get the popcorn, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be quite a show. It is going to be quite a show. Whew. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call, 1-877 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Car phone.
Hey, Liz, how you doing?
Outstanding.
I was listening to that song that you played sometime when it says, change is gonna come. What's that by, what's that song?
That's, that is, Sam Cooke.
Okay. And you know what, I think one thing he meant by that is, look at now today, 2007, we got two black coaches that's going to the Super Bowl.
Going to the Super Bowl. Going to the
Super Bowl. Can you imagine how many, BDs hate that? I'll tell some of my people, they may even cut the Super Bowl off. They may turn it off, Liz, but this is just a thought about what he was talking about. One of the things.
Thanks for your call. Take All care right. now. Listen, folks, I'll be back with Mondays at 9. Stay with me.
You pull it all the way out. That's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The death toll in Baghdad has topped 70 after a pair of suicide bombings today in one of the capital city's busiest neighborhoods. Here's ABC's Dan Harris.
This is part of a string of bombings that have come in advance of the major security crackdown by Iraqi and U.S. forces that's expected to start in this city in the not-too-distant future.
The situation in Iraq and the plan to turn it around will be one of the main topics in President Bush's State of the Union address tomorrow. But an ABC News Washington Post poll says many Americans don't agree with him. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
On the eve of his big address, the American people are unhappy with the state of the Bush presidency. 65% disapprove of him. 66% feel the war in Iraq is a mistake. There is still a core of support running at least 33%. But a majority question his leadership, his trustworthiness, and they believe he does not listen to advice.
The poll has a 3-point margin of error. It's a messy commute today across the mid-Atlantic states, especially in Washington, D.C., after the region got its first blast of wintry weather. Harry Pebble smashed up his car on the icy road.
Just a little shaken up, but there's nothing I can do. It's either take them out or take myself out.
They're digging out for more snow in the Plain States, and temperatures are hovering near record lows again in parts of California. You know by now, Hillary Rodham Clinton's taking the first step toward a presidential campaign. The U.S. Senator and former First Lady is forming an exploratory committee, and that could mean a new role for her husband, former President Clinton.
He's going to be the chief strategist in the campaign, but they caution that he's going to try at least to give that counsel to Senator Clinton privately in their living room, not burning up the phones, talking to everyone else in the campaign.
ABC News senior Washington correspondent George Stephanopoulos. It's the Bears and the Colts in Super Bowl 41. Chicago and Indianapolis meet February 4th in Miami. ABC News Money Scope, Dow down 28 points. This is ABC News.
Sam's Club has everything you need for your next football party. From Tostitos to Little Smokies to furniture taken straight from John Elway's house.
You mean my furniture line?
Yes, they'll be lining up at Sam's Club for party items like Pace Junkie's salsa and John Elway's couch.
Not my sofa, my casual living collection.
Well, I can't cancel the movers now.
Yeah? How about I cancel your face?
Sam's Club, when only the greatest party of all time will do. 10% service fee applies to non-member purchases. Elway furniture available at samsclub.com.
If you have a family history of heart disease, listen to what consumers say about Cromax.
I started taking Cromax as a mineral supplement once my mother was diagnosed with heart disease. My doctor said, keep it up because my blood work shows it's working.
Cromax Chromium Picolinate is patented for its nutritional benefits to help promote healthy blood sugar and cholesterol levels, increase energy, and fight weight gain. Take control of your health with Cromax. Look for the yellow and blue Cromax box in the vitamin aisle at fine drug, grocery stores, and super centers.
Talk about convincing. This scam artist pulled the wool over a lot of eyes. ABC's Chuck Sievertson explains.
Federal agents say Stacy Finley from Farmerville, Texas, claimed to be a CIA agent who could have satellites scan people's bodies for disease and then have CIA agents administer secret medicines to them while they slept. Finley convinced 22 neighbors, in-laws, and friends in Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi to pay her nearly $1 million over the past 6 years. She could get up to 20 years in prison and has to repay the money. Prosecutors described the victims as solid, middle-class, educated citizens. The U.S. Attorney in Shreveport says Finley can be best thought of as a cult-like, charismatic personality. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Here's an interesting twist on adoption. A Texas woman wanted a new family after hers disowned her. 40-year-old Jenna McFarland took out a personal ad in a newspaper. She got hundreds of responses. Steve and Karen Kessler got her attention. They asked Jenna to give them a chance. She did, and although it may not be technically legal, she's now their daughter. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Here's another WGNU News update. I'm Peyton Colston. Checking our news this morning, second annual St. Louis Business Journal Women's Conference is coming January 25th at America's Center downtown. The conference expects to attract more than 1,000 women from across the Midwest, and some of those attending include Maryland Lieutenant Governor Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, Amy Henry, a former finalist on Donald Trump's The Apprentice, and AT&T Senior Regulatory Compliance Officer Priscilla Hill Ardoin. The keynote speakers will be Susie Welch and Gene Chatsky. Welch is the former editor of the Harvard Business Review, and Chatsky is a best-selling author and magazine columnist. In Illinois, the State Farm Bureau has awarded Alton Representative Dan Beiser with its Friend of Agriculture Award. The Friend of Agriculture Award is based primarily on a legislator's voting record on key agricultural issues. A committee of trustees meets following the legislative session to determine award winners. During his 2 years in the Illinois House, Beiser has sponsored and helped pass legislation expanding the use and production of agri-based alternative fuels like ethanol and biodiesel, and he's supported state budgets that increase funding for agricultural needs. He says, quote, "Agriculture is Illinois' number one industry, and that is thanks in large part to the hard work of the farmers and agricultural community of our region." And Angela Harris, the St. Charles woman accused of recklessly infecting another person with the virus that causes AIDS, has a trial date. Harris is set to go on trial May 29th. She's been charged with 3 felony counts, although authorities say she potentially had dozens of sexual partners. And that's this hour's update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston reporting.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 270 from 367 through 170. Look for that accident. It's been cleared. That was at 170, but you can expect some delays still. Northbound 270 at Grabway and Doherty Ferry. Look for that. Traffic's finally easing up. Eastbound 40 at Maryville Center and Mason. No delays at this hour. Eastbound 70 from K through T.R. Hughes. Look for that traffic to be easing up this hour. Northbound Route 3 at 8th Street and the PSB. Look for that ramp to be looking good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit into the landing is on the move. And westbound 70 from Goodfellow through Jennings Station. Look for that traffic easing there. They had an earlier accident, but it's been cleared around Jennings Station. So just use caution. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, look forward to cloudy skies. Possible freezing drizzle this morning. Near steady temps in the lower 30s for this evening. Mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-20s. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning. Partly sunny throughout the day. High around 40. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy till early morning. Becoming mostly cloudy. Low in the upper 20s. And on Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high around the upper 30s. Currently, we have clouds and 33 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's Mondays at 9. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton. Get ready for Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call, Riveting Radio, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this happen?
to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
That progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop
resisting. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Our discussion this morning on Mondays at 9 is oil. The news reports all across the world are reporting the deaths of 25 Americans. One of the bloodiest days in two years. Tens of dozens and dozens of Iraqis are dead. That's the news that has penetrated the headlines out here. But a story that needs to be on the front pages of the paper is not on the front pages of the paper. And that is the story that the draft law on oil revenue appears close. Given the fact that this was one of the first sentences in the Baker Study Group report, talked about oil. Given the fact that most Americans out there know that oil factored into the reason why we are still immersed in the mess that is called the occupation of Iraq. While most Americans might know it, suspect it, believe it, they do not know the details of it because even the Iraqis don't know the details of it. Well, we need to talk about oil. We need to talk about this law on oil revenue being close to being a done deal. And we need to talk about what it says, what it means, what it will do. That's our discussion on this edition of Mondays at 9. And the journalist that's going to make it clear for us, make it plain for us, is Antonia Yuhas. She's the author of The Bush Agenda, and she's joining us from San Francisco. Good morning, Antonia.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Liz.
Certainly. It's great to have you here. I'm going to read for you the last line of the New York Times article from Saturday's paper. Having an oil law will, in principle, make it easier to attract international companies with the resources and expertise that Iraq so desperately needs. Is that a fair assessment of what this law is?
No. The way that coverage, as you said, has focused on this law. And just to give a little bit of backup, I've been working on the intentions of the Bush administration to rewrite Iraq's oil infrastructure, to change it from its currently nationalized system, which, by the way, is how 90 to 95% of all of the world's oil is handled through nationalized oil systems, to one that is an all-but-privatized system for 4 years. I've written a book on the topic. It's called The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. And I've been with some other folks in Iraq and in London trying to raise attention to this immense transfer happening because of the invasion. And the transfer is not just about revenues, which is what the mainstream media has covered. It's about ownership of the oil and who's going to own the oil under the ground.
We'll be back with more of this conversation with Antonia Yuhas, author of The Bush Agenda. She's joining us from San Francisco. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
You've probably seen the stories in the news about disreputable credit counseling agencies, and that's why you need to know the NFCC difference. I'm Susan Keating with the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. NFCC agencies are accredited and have certified counselors. They are nonprofit and community governed with a real stake in helping you. Knowing the NFCC difference can make all the difference, so call today, 1-800-388-2227, or visit nfcc.org.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to our discussion about oil in Iraq and ownership of it. My guest this hour is author of The Bush Agenda, Antonia Yuhas. She's joining us from San Francisco. And Antonia, can we go back? Can we go back and talk a little bit about the history of what has gotten us to this place? Who owned the oil before? Who controlled the oil before? How was it controlled in Iraq before our invasion?
Absolutely. All of the countries of the Middle East, virtually all of the members of OPEC, and as I said, virtually all of the oil in the world, Iraq's oil was a nationalized oil system, which meant that the state government owned the oil under the ground and made decisions on production and sales. That doesn't mean that U.S. companies were locked out, however. U.S. oil companies worked quite closely with Saddam Hussein for many years. Halliburton built oil infrastructure for Saddam Hussein. Companies like Exxon and Chevron marketed Iraqi oil, which meant selling it after it left the country. But what U.S. oil companies have wanted for a very long time is access and ownership to Iraqi oil under the ground. Iraq can really be thought of as literally a pimple of oil that hasn't been picked. It has definitely the second largest oil reserves in the world, quite possibly the largest oil reserves in the world, but of 80 known oil fields. We know where they are. We know how much oil is in them. Only 17 have even begun to be developed. So oil companies and U.S. governments have been eager to get to this oil for a long time. And the one thing that Saddam Hussein would not do is let oil companies in to own his oil under the ground. The invasion of this current invasion of Iraq, prior to it being launched, a working group in the U.S. State Department was already working out plans for what Iraq's oil industry should look like after an invasion, and that was to turn it into one where the state would technically own the oil, but all of the oil functions would be privatized out to private companies, and the private companies would be able to control the oil under the ground. And essentially, the Bush administration has been steadily applying greater and greater influence to successive Iraqi governments since the invasion, putting pressure on them to pass a law that would accomplish this goal. Open Iraq to private foreign corporate access. Let those companies have access to the oil under the ground and let them get as much of the profits as possible. So the most recent version of the oil law.
Let's talk about the process of its creation.
Okay.
Okay. Have people had an opportunity to find out about these different drafts of this law? Who have been the parties into the rewriting of this? How has that worked out?
So immediately following the invasion, the United States had an occupation government of Iraq, a technical occupation government of Iraq, which meant that the head of that government, Paul Bremer, had full authority over Iraq for 14 months. He wrote the laws, he signed them into law, he made everything run. In that role, he completely transformed the Iraqi economy, fully opening it up to U.S. corporate access in every realm except the extraction of oil. But he laid the groundwork for
Was it too political to do that at that point in time? It would have been too obvious to do that?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So on a slower track was a process that first was introduced by the U.S.-appointed interim Prime Minister of Iraq, Ayed Alawi, who introduced an oil law that exactly replicated that initially put forward by the U.S. State Department. That oil law was introduced by Alawi to his government's oil committee. And that law would change Iraq from a nationalized oil system to an all-but-privatized system, open to private corporate access and investment. That law that he put forward was then pushed forward even further by the next deputy president of Iraq, Abdel Mahdi, who is still a deputy president, who is also very closely aligned to the Bush administration. And Abdel Mahdi came to the United States in a State Department briefing to announce to U.S. corporations that this new oil law was being debated and that it would be, quote, very good for U.S. oil corporations. This is right around the time when things really started spiraling out of control in Iraq, and the Iraqi government was not as focused on the oil as the Bush administration would like them to be. And the Bush administration pressure started to go more underground. The Bush administration hired a private consultancy company, Bearing Point, to have an advisor. All that advisor does and did was be assigned to the Iraqi oil ministry to ensure that this oil law actually come to fruition. Then the International Monetary Fund began putting pressure on the Iraqis to pass this oil law. Then the Iraq Study Group report announced on page one, this wasn't covered by any of the mainstream media, that the reason why Iraq is important to the region, and the reason why Iraq is important to the United States is because it has the second largest oil reserves in the world, and that what the Bush administration had to do was get the Iraqis to pass an oil law that would open up Iraq's oil to private corporate investment and would also require that the Bush administration use the U.S. military to ensure that this oil is safe.
Then I go back to, again, this last line in the New York Times saying, having an oil law will make it easier to attract international companies with the resources and the expertise that the country so desperately needs.
So here's the situation in Iraq right now. Prior to the invasion of Iraq, Iraq's oil was being produced at about 2.5 million barrels a day. Today it's being produced at 2.3 million barrels a day. The Iraqis...
They haven't missed a beat.
Oh, yeah, they haven't missed a beat. And they are running the systems right now. The Americans have done some work in rebuilding oil pipelines. But the Iraqis are running the system. The Iraqis are also, because oil, because as you use again this image of the pimple, Iraq's oil is literally right below the surface. It's very easy to get to. It's estimated that it costs $1 per barrel to produce Iraq's oil. It's selling at $54 per barrel. So the Iraqis are making a lot of money right now already from their oil. They have about a $35 billion a year budget for the federal government, about $3 billion of which is currently going to the oil system. The oil system's working quite well. They may, however, where the New York Times is correct, need some technical assistance because it's been 10 years of sanctions and they need their skills upgraded. The way to do that, the way that every other country in the Middle East does that, is that it does sign contracts with foreign companies to provide technical assistance.
And they can do that themselves.
Exactly.
They don't need a governmental study group. They don't need any meetings in secret. They don't need anything to do that. You just sign a contract, you bring your experts in and pay for it like everybody else.
Exactly. Exactly. They certainly don't need to privatize their entire system to get some expertise from some foreign oil companies. And what's happening right now is because of the pressure being applied by the Bush administration. So after the Iraq study group came out, the president announced for the first time that Iraq must pass this law. Then U.S. Ambassador Salmi Khalilzad said the same thing. Then General Casey said the same thing. Then the president announced the troop surge. A few days later, the al-Maliki government said, yes, we will consider the oil law. And now it's moving forward. It's clearly a result of external pressure, not a result of what would work best for Iraqis. And then just to say quickly, that the last version of the oil law that we've seen would give foreign oil companies 30-year contracts and 75% of the profits.
Jesus.
So what we're saying to the Iraqis is we get 75% of the profits, we get it for 30 years, and you can have 25% while you're trying to rebuild during a war.
And this agreement that you talk about that we know of, how difficult was it to be able to even see that agreement or to see that draft?
Impossible. Basically, there's a working group within the Iraqi government that has been exclusively working on the oil law with the United States and the British government. And members of the Iraqi parliament haven't seen the oil law. I have a colleague who is an Iraqi-American who works for a research organization who talks to progressive Iraqi parliamentarians. They call him to find out what's in the oil law, and he calls me, and that's how they find out. The access to information is incredibly limited. It seems that the New York Times must have seen a draft of it. The UK Independent newspaper seems to have seen a draft. But that's basically how the information circulates, is a draft gets out, gets leaked here or there, and pieces of information make their way to us, and then it makes its way over to the parliament. But essentially, all of these negotiations are happening in complete secrecy. Believe me, the average Iraqi does not know what's in the oil law. And Iraqi oil workers only found out by going to Jordan and receiving a briefing from another research organization, which led them, the Union of Iraqi Oil Workers, representing hundreds of thousands of workers, to publicly condemn the law and condemn the process.
And that was in September. How far did that go to inform the Iraqi people of this attempted coup of their oil?
Not very far. The problem, it didn't. So that draft of the law that included this form of contract with a 30-year contract and the 75% profits, that draft is not the most recent version of the draft, it appears. The current version is stripped of these most extreme versions, most extreme requirements, and I believe that that is because of the public attention, the public pressure that has come to bear on the United States and the al-Maliki government. But what the current version now says is...
Okay, hold that thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we have to take a break. We will be back. Antonia Yuhas, author of The Bush Agenda. We're talking about the new oil law going before the Iraqi cabinet, what it means to Iraq, what it means to the United States, and what you need to know about it. I'm Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. Stay with us.
Hi, this is now Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, and I'd like to talk to you about another exclusive group that I belong to that has changed my life. I'm talking about the thousands of guys who, just like me, have decided to take control of their hair loss and regrow their hair permanently with the pros at Medical Hair Restoration. The best thing about this club is that you see the rewards every day. Having my hair back has made me look and feel younger than I have in years. And that's the ultimate vote of confidence.
If you're balding or thinning, Medical Hair Restoration, the nation's leader in microsurgical hair transplantation, wants to send you a free DVD package explaining just how easy and painless their hair replacement procedure is. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832. Take control of your hair loss and get this free information package sent to you with tons of before and after pictures and testimonials. There's no cost, no obligation. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832.
Coming up later today on the Sloan Ranger Show, in the 5 p.m. hour, Lloyd gets a first-hand account of the situation in Iraq from Michael Yon, a reporter embedded in Baghdad. That's tonight from 5 till 7, Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, here on AM 920 WGNU.
That should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling, and you can hear it if you try.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Mondays at 9. My guest this hour is Antonia Yuhas. She's the author of The Bush Agenda, a journalist that has been covering this issue of oil in Iraq, and she's joining us from San Francisco. And Antonia, I stopped you right in the middle of a thought.
Oh, thank you. The most recent version of the oil law, because of all the public attention and pressure which has been building on the U.S. government, was stripped of the worst provision, which was this provision called the use of production sharing agreement contracts.
PSAs.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The contracts that grant the 70% profits, the 30-year contracts. What was left in their place was a vague reference to that Iraq is going to have to determine the best form of contract that it wants to use in its new system, which will be open to private companies, which will be operated on a commercial basis. And the way that the Iraqis have stated in the draft that they're going to figure out the best mode of contract is not by traveling to their neighbors, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Iran, countries that have nationalized systems that sign these limited contracts with private companies that I talked about. Rather, they're traveling to the United States, Britain, and Norway, the very countries that are applying the most pressure on the Iraqis to pass the most extreme version of the law.
Two questions. What is this pressure that you keep referring to? What kind of pressure are they exerting on Iraq? And secondly, the traveling to other countries, does that still mean that these PSAs are still possible? Because if they're saying, if we're saying, okay, we're stripping that out of the agreement, it's going to be left up to the Iraqis are going to travel to the United States, the PSAs are not gone, are not dead, are they?
Oh, yeah, not even close. So there is a couple things. The first is the pressure. So initially, the pressure was very simple because the quote-unquote Iraqi government that the Bush administration was working with in the beginning was a U.S.-appointed Iraqi government. And it was simply, sort of transfer the draft of the law from the State Department over to the Alawi interim government of Iraq and have the Alawi government move forward. What happened was that there was resistance to such a huge transfer of control of Iraq's oil, even by the interim Iraqi governments. And so the pressure that the Bush administration has continued to apply is, one, quite simply, the presence of 150,000 American troops on the ground occupying this nation. We can't underestimate the influence of the foreign occupation on Iraqis, who are very clear in their opposition to the presence of the occupation. I believe the latest figures, and this is a State Department poll, this is not a newspaper poll, this is a State Department poll, found that 70% of the residents of Baghdad said that they would feel safer if the Americans left Baghdad.
That's 70%, and that's coming from our government's poll.
Exactly.
And they lie.
Exactly.
I mean, and I just mean just for PR purposes. They call it PR, but that's a lie.
That's right.
So they're saying 70%. So then I guess, Antonio, if we are looking at the reason for this push of this surge, then I guess it's like mafioso, like, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's not just like it. It is it. I mean, The most important thing to understand about the al-Maliki government is that it is not a popular government. It is not a government that would continue to stand if the foreign occupation was removed. But al-Maliki is, and not to make a pun, very much stuck between a rock and a hard place. He also relies on the continued support of the al-Mahdi militia, al-Sadr's 60,000-strong militia. If they turned against him, he wouldn't be able to continue his government. At the same time, if the foreign occupation turned against him, he wouldn't be able to maintain his government. So he's trying to find some sort of medium. And the al-Sadr parliamentarians, there's 30 members of the parliament that are a part of, essentially represent the position of al-Sadr, they currently have walked out of the parliament in protest, which is why now is a really good time to put forward the oil law, because those who would most aggressively resist it aren't there. And this is why the public pressure has increased by the Bush administration. As I said, it's a radical departure for the Bush administration to publicly state to the al-Maliki government, you must pass this law. It is part of the conditions that we are requiring you to meet. And then the al-Maliki government did move to pass the law.
Now, how binding could this law be? We pull out. We pull out of Iraq. How binding could it be if they made these changes?
It's fully binding. So here's, once the law is passed, if it is passed, then companies would need to sign contracts. But then they would need to get to work. So I firmly believe that the Bush administration is so bullheaded on maintaining this occupation so that he can see this process fulfilled. U.S. companies need the best security force in the world if they're going to get to work in Iraq, and what better security force is there than 150,000 American troops?
How much of this of our military, do we know how much of our military is being used to protect the oil interest?
I don't know what percentage. It is very, though, public information that U.S. soldiers are being used to protect oil infrastructure, pipelines. Obviously, there's the famous case now of immediately following the invasion, U.S. soldiers guarding the oil ministry and not other parts of the economy or heritage of Iraq. And since the beginning, U.S. soldiers have literally been working oil platforms and providing security at oil platforms. And that's clearly a central component of the activities of the U.S. soldiers. And I have spoken to many soldiers who have since returned from Iraq and are now part of groups like Iraq Veterans Against the War, who said, you know, my entire time in Iraq was spent guarding oil facilities, and that told me that I wasn't there to bring freedom to Iraqis.
So let's get to the back to the government of Iraq and the parties that are sitting down at this table to vote on this. Will there be a vote on this? And who will be sitting there to take the vote?
Yeah. Right now, everything's been done in a secret committee of members of the oil ministry, key members of the al-Maliki government, and a few regional leaders to try and deal with the issue of should Iraq's oil be controlled by the various regional governments, meaning the Shia in the south, the Kurds in the north, and the Sunni in the center. And what the Bush administration has very much wanted is centralized control, meaning that the al-Maliki government has control over all of the resources. The reason for that is so that if this privatization agenda is achieved, there won't be a chance for the different governments to change that policy and decide that they want a different form of contract. And this version of the oil law has passed out of that working group and next needs to go to the cabinet of the al-Maliki government, which are the vice presidents, the president, and the prime minister. It's clear that it's going to pass out of that committee. Then it goes to the full Iraqi parliament, and they take it up as a bill very much in the same way that the U.S. Congress would, except for that if it was the United States Congress, the committee working on the bill would have already made it public, but that's something different.
Mm-hmm.
The parliamentarians are in a very similar position to al-Maliki. I do not believe that the Bush administration would allow this piece of legislation to go to the parliament if they weren't sure that it was going to pass. So they're going to work and apply pressure to make sure that it does, in fact, pass the parliament.
Surely somebody is in opposition to this in the parliament. Surely what is in it for the Iraqi people? The thought that the United States would get out, but wouldn't they suspect that they will never get out if we pass this?
Again, to understand the parliamentarians, the election that happened that brought this government into power, just to remember, this was an election that was determined by the Carter Center, now the world preeminent voice on whether elections are legal or not, that this in no way was an election that followed the requirements for a democratic election. The candidates who ran didn't even make their candidacies public until literally their name appeared on the ballot and people had to vote for them because of fear of being assassinated, and many of them were assassinated. When people voted in this election, they voted for hope and for a chance at peace. They didn't vote for candidates. These candidates are not representatives of the Iraqi public, that most of them are representing their own interests and trying to figure out where will their interests be served by passing this law. There are definitely some people in there who are very good representatives of the people and are definitely likely to resist this law. The question is, if three-fourths support it, then the law passes. The most important thing for us to understand here, though, in the United States, is our influence is over our government and our corporations, and to force them to stop putting pressure on the government of Iraq on making this decision. And
I want to have a discussion about that when we come back in the next break, about the three things that you advocate that people can do to weigh in on that part of it. But I also want to talk about when we come back as well about one of the things, the fuel that people need, the fuel of knowledge that people need to engage in it, in the discussion on this, I'd like to take a couple of minutes to talk about some of the war profiteering by those very same American corporations that people need to know about.
Absolutely.
I will be back. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Antonia Juhas. She's the author of The Bush Agenda. We're talking about oil in Iraq and why we're there. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at Letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to Letstalk17.com. That's Letstalk17.com.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with a personal invitation to join me for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality. Part of Women Inspiring Women every Monday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU. I believe when you follow your purpose, you have no choice but to be phenomenally successful, because all of the resources and opportunities you need become attracted to you. So join me, Lethea Owens, for Motivational Mondays, part of Women Inspiring Women, every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me right after the 10 o'clock news here on AM 920 WGNU.
The award-winning Wake Up Call, analyzing the story shaping your world.
Is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. My guest this hour is Antonia Juhas. She's the author of The Bush Agenda. She's joining us from San Francisco. And Antonia, I want to talk about you had written an article, The New Oil Law to Go Before Iraqi Cabinet Forgoes PSAs, and you talk about three different things that people can do to involve themselves in this issue. I want to talk about the one that's happening on January 23rd with this question before that. How many of our legislators are as concerned as you are or others about the privatization of Iraqi's oil, the Iraqi people's oil?
Well, you know, it's been very frustrating, but part of my background is that I was a legislative assistant in Washington, D.C., actually to two U.S. members of Congress. Most importantly to me, Congressman John Conyers of Michigan, who's now the chair of the House Judiciary Committee. And Congressman Conyers has definitely been paying attention to the oil, and a few other members of Congress have, but essentially this issue has been falling on deaf ears. And I think that there's two reasons. One is that the success of the propaganda on the right to make anyone who talks about oil in this war to be characterized as some sort of extremist, simplistic person on the left who doesn't really get it. And that is a tremendous success of propaganda. You know, this is a war that's taking place in a country that has the largest reserves of oil in the world, and essentially, has not even touched them. And it's clearly a war that has a tremendous amount to do, not just about oil profits, but also who controls the last remaining oil in the world and the power that is accorded to that country. And members of Congress have really shied away from the topic, and I believe on the side of the Republicans, who are the party that is absolutely, utterly supported by the oil industry. The oil and gas industry provides about 90% of all of its political funding to Republicans. I would argue on most of their behalf that this is in their interest that this law goes forward, and in the interest of the companies that support them. I do not believe that that is the position of most Democrats who don't receive very much money from these companies.
So then that being said, we only have a few minutes here. On January 23rd, what is the Senate Committee on Foreign Relationship hearing about? Is it about this issue?
That's right. Senator Biden is holding a hearing on the issue of oil and reconstruction.
Senator Biden, who wants to be President Biden.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully he's going to address these issues head on.
Do we know that? Do we have a sense of, I mean, the title of it is Oil and Reconstruction Strategy in Iraq. Is there an agenda that's been put out somewhere that we know whether this issue is going to be discussed, or are we just hoping that it will be?
We're just hoping. I've definitely been working with others to try and provide a testimony to that hearing, to provide information to that hearing, but I don't know yet. And I think that's something that we can do, is to contact our members of Congress and tell them that we want them to attend that hearing, and we want them to address these issues at that hearing.
So then, again, the title of it is Oil Reconstruction and Strategy in Iraq. So what is the what is the purpose of this hearing?
They haven't said yet. From their mind, it's an investigation into these issues. What's happening with oil and reconstruction in Iraq? Which seems to me that it would have to address the extent of this law. The question is, who's going to address the committee and from what perspective? If all we're going to hear at that committee is more about the issue of distribution of revenues of Iraq's oil, then clearly the hearing is going to miss the point.
And this hearing is tomorrow.
That's right.
That's on the eve of the presidential address?
The eve of the presidential address. And the eve of the giant protest planned for Washington, D.C. on Saturday the 27th in opposition to the war as well.
So throw out a couple of the profiteering issues that people need to be aware of that have happened as a result of our presence and occupation in Iraq.
Well, first of all, U.S. oil companies are already making a huge profit from Iraq. There's a reason why in Iraq we see long lines for people waiting for gasoline, waiting for kerosene, even though Iraq's oil is pumping nearly at pre-war levels, and that's because a huge percentage of the oil is simply being exported out and marketed by Exxon, Chevron, Conoco, and Marathon. And then U.S. companies such as Halliburton, Bechtel, Parsons, Shaw, Perini, and a few others who have made, on Halliburton's part, $20 billion. On the rest of them, between $3 billion and $8 billion apiece on reconstruction, have utterly failed to perform those services. So what I think folks need to let their members of Congress know is that the U.S. contracts, the war profiteers in Iraq, need to have their contracts canceled. They need to return all misspent funds, of which there are tens of billions. And then all of that money, plus a lot more, needs to go directly to Iraqi companies and Iraqi workers so that they can do the reconstruction and have real stability created in Iraq that way.
You wrote an article back in August about Bechtel, and one of the things that you talk about is this hospital boondoggle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? Can you share a little bit of that with us, just to give people an idea of the type of war profiteering that we're talking about, the monstrous war profiteering?
Bechtel, as part of its $2.8 billion in contracts that it's received for reconstruction work in Iraq, was supposed to build a maternal and child health hospital in Basra.
A children's hospital.
A children's hospital in Basra. And they said they were building it. They told the U.S. Agency for International Development that they were building it. And then finally, after a year and a half, a special inspector general went to see if they were actually building it, and it turned out that they weren't. And the hospital had been a year and a half over schedule, $90 million over budget, and there was no hospital.
Mm.
That's happening all across Iraq. Companies being assigned, in particular, health, water, electricity, and sewage projects, and those projects just not happening.
But the sick piece of the story is that they still have the contract, right?
Yes.
They still have a contract that they lied about what they were doing. They originally said it was going to cost $50 million, and now it's $90 million over that cost and a year and a half behind schedule, and they still get to keep the contract.
No, in this case, no. This is a success story.
Okay.
Bechtel still has it's almost $2.8 billion, but for this contract, the Special Inspector General did cancel the contract, and not only cancel it, but handed it over to an Iraqi company, and now that company is working. And that is exactly what needs to happen all across Iraq. When the Iraqi companies do the work, they are not targeted by the insurgency. They do the work on budget, and they get it done. One reason being they really need that hospital, and so they will build it.
And actually, Bechtel being there is a target. I mean, why would we hire companies that are going to be targets from the Iraqi people? Because, number one, because they are us. They represent us. Secondly, when Iraqi people know that those are jobs that they're taking away from them.
Oh, absolutely. And this was a problem, of course, from the very beginning. Initially, Iraqis were definitely willing to give U.S. companies the benefit of the doubt. They thought the U.S. companies would come in, they'd fix everything, and everything would be fine. And they gave them the chance. But then the U.S. companies came in, and what they had in their sights was privatization of these services. They had in their sights cost-plus contracts, which meant all of their costs were covered, plus a fixed profit. So they took their time. They tried to build really fancy, expensive systems, and that meant that the services weren't being provided, weren't being repaired, and then the Iraqis said, this isn't going to work. We should have these contracts. The Americans shouldn't be here. And then the companies themselves became the target of the insurgency.
And this story of Bechtel and this children's hospital that they ripped out, that should be a reason why they shouldn't have any contract there at all.
Absolutely. But I agree. And not just them. Lots of other companies.
That's what my point was, is that that's not an exception.
Yeah, absolutely. And these are, the most important services, the services that, in fact, the United States as an occupying government is supposed to provide, and which we've utterly failed to provide, the most basic of necessities. However, we've paid U.S. companies about $50 billion for this failure.
Has Bechtel or any of these other corporations, contracts are canceled, that's one thing. Have they been punished in any way? Have they been charged in any way for war profiteering?
Halliburton faces about $1 billion worth of charges for war profiteering. Making charges for goods that they didn't provide, for overcharging for services, and their services are ones that are directly provided to the U.S. military. So when we're talking about not providing services, it's obviously quite critical that the U.S. military isn't getting what it needs from Halliburton as well. There are several other companies that have faced charges, some criminal charges, this is one of the things that hopefully Democrats will be confronting head-on in their hearings, is making sure that these charges stick and that the full process is addressed, meaning the contract's canceled, the money returned.
And I guess a sick, twisted part of this story is that even if Bechtel has this $1 billion just to the military that they've ripped us off, they could pay it and not even feel it.
That's true. However, the next stage is that a company that is found guilty of bilking the U.S. taxpayer should then not be allowed to receive future government contracts. And that is actually in our laws, and it needs to be fulfilled.
And who would enforce that?
The Democratic Congress, hopefully.
Antonia Juhas, thank you so much. Where can people go to get more information and to check out your writings? Oops, did we lose her? Apparently we did. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, and Mondays at 9, that was Antonia Yuha. She's the author of The Bush Agenda. She joined us from San Francisco, and the spelling of her name is Antonia Yuha. That's J-U-H-A-S-Z. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening, and stay strong.
Peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile.